Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo. Mike O'Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC? CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs, security, show business?
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show to do.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK. Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
Well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We can thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Complete contest rules. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK. P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Father's Day is coming this Sunday, and now the greatest challenge of the year begins. What to get dear old dad?
There's always the electric shaver that's collecting dust. Not a chance.
I got one. A tie.
That's what he needs. Another tie with a hula dancer on it.
And everyone's favorite, Old Spice.
Well, here's something very different and tons of fun. A monkey Graham. You've heard us talk about these cute, funny, and furry stuffed monkeys. For Father's Day, they come with a personal note and some added goodies like popcorn, movies, and a foam drink holder. So when Dad is lying on the couch, he knows how special you think he is.
Monkey Graham start at only $39.95, so call now. 1-800-858-5101, and a trained monkey professional will help you find the perfect monkey and accessories for your dad. Show you really love Dad. Get him a Monkey Graham.
Hey. Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen, how are you doing? Attorney here in Vienna, which is in Fairfax. Private practice, but I also do some contract work for the county, Fairfax. And
come on, please get to the point.
God, are you this quick in the courtroom?
I do.
What is
the first thing I would have to ask you if we were on the stand and I was representing
the first thing I'd say is, please, I need another lawyer.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Pickles at Duke, useless bitch.
Hi.
Bite my left nipple, asswipe.
Hi.
Smell my hog, queer bait.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, possibly the only person who was not with us at the charity dinner last night that we attended, Rob.
Wasn't at our table.
And he doesn't even have his picture on the wall of the Palm restaurant. You would think, what's the guy got to do? He gave his life for us, and he can't get his picture on the wall of the Palm restaurant. Ladies and gentlemen.
A crucifix really picks that place up.
You know, he loves his sandals.
He does. Here he is. Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
You may call him Bill. I call him Roger. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Doorprise and all the ships at sea. Hey, they've never had any complaints about their manhole.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening to the Don and Mike Show, everybody. New episode on Wednesday, June 13th. Yeah. They bolted down the manhole.
They took care of it.
Yeah.
Good. That's good. I like that kind of response.
City was out here today.
Ooh.
when they arrived to work early this morning.
That's the reason they did it right there.
Yeah, look at that injury.
Yes, and there are pictures of Mike's incredible facial injuries at www.donandmikefans.com.
Yeah, I was hurting in that one.
The pictures from our scenario yesterday are up on the website today. Listen, before I tell you about the night that Rob A. and I had together, we went to a charity function last night.
Down at the Palm Restaurant?
Yeah, which I was feeling good about for a while. Mm-hmm. Now I don't feel quite so good about it. I'll tell you why in a minute. No, nothing. Buzz, no need. You know, a lot of times with
concern.
Buzz, yes, I hear the
I was concerned. Right.
But I actually got a look up from Buzz that time with the that was something bad. No, not really bad.
Okay. I don't bestow those on you very often. I simply sit and wait to hear. Because I know that regardless of tragedy or great success, it will bring me some sort of joy.
Yeah, and it's actually something that's very nice. It's just as it turns out, it's not as nice as I thought it was. But I get to that in a second.
Did anything, now see, I go the other way. Did anything horrible happen or something?
No.
I know the last time you
got
together, it was like extraordinarily boring.
No. Oh, no, we have anything but boring stuff.
Good.
To tell you from
good.
Our night
I'm
last
glad.
Night.
Because, you know, you two together, without those wives around,
well,
I know that's trouble.
Yeah. It was the two of us. We went to the Palm Restaurant for the men's club. That was for some kind of some cancer deal, right? Vince Lombardi Cancer Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Nice that Tommy Giacomo, the manager of the Palm, was smoking like a chimney all night.
You know, he tried to quit a while back.
During the function.
He had the patch on one night when I was there, but I guess he's gone back to the sticks.
So, you know, there are guys up there giving speeches about, you know, obviously what an awful disease cancer is.
Yes, it is bad.
And meanwhile, sitting at our table, we got this.
Hey, Robbie, you got a light?
I mean, he's not doing it as a gag.
No. He really is coughing.
He's seriously coughing and smoking.
We're gagging.
So we get to this charity dinner. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to tell you about. First, Rob and I were lucky enough to walk in late.
Right.
Because we obviously were doing the show yesterday.
Right.
So we got there like 2 hours after the thing officially started.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk in and they say to us, we didn't even think you were showing up.
Mm.
You know, even though I paid an exorbitant amount of money for these tickets because it's a charity thing. Of course we're going to show up. So we get there. Well, I'm going to give you things out of order, okay?
Mm.
Here's the good thing that happened to me that I later found out. Well, you be the judge. They have raffles and door prizes.
Ooh. Good.
And one of the door prizes that they were giving away was this incredible watch from Tiffany or something like that. I mean, it's really a nice lady's watch. And Rob and I are just sitting at our table with other people who we'll get into in a moment. When they
me is the first good sign right there.
Oh no, you're gonna like this song.
We were sitting at our table with other people.
We're sitting there, and all of a sudden, the guy who's up there, who I'm going to allude to in a moment, says, "And the winner of this watch, this beautiful woman's watch, is Don Geronimo."
Huh.
So I stand up and I go, "Hey, I am the lucky man."
Hey, there you go.
And I go up there and I get my picture taken with the dude and the guy
right.
from the Cancer Society. And he's like, "God damn." I sit back down. I say to Rob, "Yeah, Jesus, I'm lucky.
You're the golden boy."
Yeah, well, no, I'm not, Mike.
Now,
yeah, you're not. Well, if Rob can access the message from Tommy Giacomo, the manager of the Palm.
They want it back. Oh, I shouldn't say.
Oh, no. They don't want it back.
Okay.
They just want to just... And I don't know if Tommy wants this known on the air or not.
Oh, is it the message that I... Oh, okay, maybe he doesn't want that on the air.
Well, no, too bad. I mean,
make sure you tell Don that Tommy made the fix so that he wouldn't have watched. So make sure you tell Streeter that I get part of the action on that. Okay, thanks.
Oh, but you don't feel bad because you're okay. That's Tommy. That's Tommy just blowing smoke.
No,
Tommy didn't really do that.
No, I think he did.
No way.
No, I think he fixed it.
Well, it's for a good cause. That's a Tommy line. That's like Tommy wouldn't. He couldn't control it.
I think he fixed it.
No,
you know what? There was like it seemed like 600 people there. They told me afterwards like 180 people, and that's a lot of people in that room. Restaurant.
Right.
And the odds are just, I think, in the favor of it might have been fixed.
I
make sure if Don shows up, give him a line.
All I'm saying is I know, you know, from that's him just going, "Hey, I think so."
I don't know. I think that it was mighty,
you want
mighty
him?
Coincidental.
You want to call him?
Yeah, get him on the line. I mean, because I think, you know, more power to him.
I think he fixed it.
Well,
it
might, look, it might be a half. Let's find out if he really did put the fix in.
Well, because the woman who runs, was he up there? Was he around the, like, the fishbowl or whatever they were using to draw the numbers out?
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out if he was. Not to mention, the other guy who I'm going to mention in a moment, who was the MC, had been sitting at our table drinking with us.
Ah.
And he had been there drinking for a couple of hours before Rob and I arrived.
Was this MC someone that we would know?
I believe you will know him. Well, let me simply show you while I block out his name. Let me show you his business card.
Ah.
That he works at CNN.
Hey, Tommy, I see. Can you go on the air with Don Mike for a second? All right, hold on.
All right, he always goes on the air with us.
Tommy Giacomo from the Palm Restaurant.
Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, listen, Tommy. Did you really fix that so I could win that watch?
Of course. Are you kidding me? 1,600, you walked in, you were here like for 10 minutes, and next thing you know, they pulled it right out of the hat. How do you think that happened?
I told you.
Pretty incredible, Tommy.
I told you.
I want a credit from freezing. That's what I want. I don't care what's on.
You'll get there. No, I came home last night with a watch, and I was a big hero. Thank you.
I'm sure you were a big hero.
Now, listen. See, I told you he fixed it for me.
I still don't believe him.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, Don walked in. He wasn't here for 5 minutes. He sits there. He takes my seat at my table. He eats my freaking lobster, my steak, my wine, my martinis, and then I and the winner is Don Geronimo, $1,600 watch. I'm sitting there like a schmuck. I go, of course I made the fix. What do you think?
Tommy, you honestly made the fix.
The fix was in. You can't tell anybody. It's just between us, of course.
Of course. Right, of course.
No, no one's going to know about that. I'm not on the air, am I?
Yeah, you are.
Good. I'm just kidding, you guys.
No. All right.
See, he just said he's kidding. There you go.
He's kidding. Well, no. Listen, thank you, Tommy.
Hey, we had a good time.
You are a pitbull.
My wife
did not fix the goddamn.
He did. And I thank you for that.
He did not. He did not fix the goddamn.
Let me take this up with Frieda, okay? Yeah, have Frieda give me a call, and we'll work this out, okay?
All right, you got it. Bye, Tommy.
Take care, guys. Bye.
You would have preferred that to go. Yes, I did. Goodbye, Tommy. There we go.
No, he didn't. I believe he fixed it for me. And that's fine. That's fine. That's the sign of a true friend.
If I got a team of investigators from any private investigating house, I could probably prove that he did not fix it.
You might be interested to know that the woman who put on the event,
yes,
whose name I'm not going to say now,
right,
is also one of my wife's closest friends.
Ah, well, now there, that I so speak, who knows about that?
I think...
So you just don't think you want it honest?
No, I don't.
Why are you so concerned about this anyway?
I'm not. I'm just pointing out. You know, hey, listen, nothing good ever happens to me like you, okay?
I'm a golden boy. Shine again.
And if I happen to win something, I frankly don't think I'm not the golden boy on this show.
You don't think that it's luck?
No, the fix had to be in.
Okay.
No, Rob's right. There was like between 700 and 1,000 people there last night. I walk in. I'm the last guy to walk in. And by coincidence, they pull out my name.
Well, now, the way it would work, if the old bin wasn't shaken up enough and you were one of the last ones to walk in, your number was probably thrown on the top.
Coincidentally, everyone who won a prize was there.
Ah.
Even though lots of people who had paid the money to go to the event didn't show up, coincidentally, none of them won prizes.
Good. Right.
Yeah,
right.
And everyone who won had a name tag. All the other people had name tags, so there was obviously like some sort of registration.
Well, guys, let me offer a little advice to both of you. This is just from the Golden Boy, because I have won many raffles. As a matter of fact, every raffle I've ever been involved in, I've won something.
Of course you have.
Every day
the Golden Boy, shine again. It's just, I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know, but, you know, when you win these things and you think the fix might be in and it's like a $1,200 watch or something, like, just keep it on the QT.
Yeah, why?
What the hell? From the highest mountaintop.
It's for a good cause.
I got it now. God knows I paid more than that for the stupid tickets to the thing. So, as far as I'm concerned, I got my payback.
The fix.
So thank you, Tommy Giacomo. The fix indeed is in. Now, the guy... Oh, well, first let me also tell you what I did bid on,
right?
Which would have been fantastic. Now, the watch that the fix was in on that I gave to my wife, the beautiful, expensive watch... was not the best prize that they gave away at the raffle. Like they had United Airlines tickets anywhere you want to go in the world, and the beautiful nights at hotels. The one thing that they auctioned off was dinner for you and a friend,
right,
with Lay King at the Palm. So they start the bidding, and it started
slow. the guy who I'll tell you about in a second is up there, and he says, now, this is you and Larry King at the Palm Restaurant. Do I hear... What do I hear? Come on, I need an opening bid.
So he didn't start out with an opening number, huh?
No, and the first bid, I guess you not, was $10.
did that get a laugh?
Yep. Yeah, good. $10. Then some guy goes to $20.
Reasonable.
And then it goes to $100. And still, like, at this point, people are done goofing around.
It's not a bidding war.
No, it's not. So some guy then, now the guy's really having to work the crowd.
Right.
Oh, come on, dinner with the great Larry King at the Palm Restaurant. $100, ladies and gentlemen, this is for the Cancer Society. So some guy puts his hand up and says, $500. Now, at this point, I'm sitting at the table with Rob, and I said, listen, it is a charity event.
Yes.
And it would be worth it to me. I'm going to bid $1,000. So that Larry King has to have lunch with me and Mike.
That would have been
which would have killed him. So I throw my hand up and
did you go right for the foul?
Yeah, I went from 500 to 1,000.
Right.
They come right there and go, Don Geronimo bids $1,000.
Does that get a laugh?
No.
Oh, really?
At that point, the room goes silent.
Oh, good, even better.
Right. So, and now I'm nervous because I'm thinking I might really have to pay $1,000.
Sure.
But on the other hand, oh my God.
You can write it off.
Can you imagine, and besides that, can you imagine when they call Larry King?
Sure.
And if they were to say to him, listen, great news, we got $1,000. you have to have lunch with Don and Mike.
Can you think of any better business expense, though?
No, I can't.
And so what happened after that?
It escalated.
Really?
And that's when it got out of control.
Oh, really?
And it went for...
Are you ready to puke?
I mean, now it's for charity. $5,000.
I am ready to puke.
Yeah.
Lunch with the King.
Puke. I mean, absolutely. Puke.
Oh, that's a drag.
Didn't we feel like we wanted to puke, Roger?
Absolutely, Roger. What's the name, Roger? It's Roger, right?
Every time I would introduce Rob to someone,
right?
I would say, hi, and, I'm Don from the Don and Mike Show, and this is, one of our lackeys, this is Rob Spiewak. Everybody would say to him, hi, Roger.
The crowded restaurant syndrome.
It was really loud.
Right.
I mean, he got to it was like a joke. It was like, hey, how you doing, Roger? It is Roger, isn't it? Oh, of course it's Roger.
Roger.
How you doing there, Pally?
So we're sitting at this table at this very crowded restaurant, this charity event, and I recognize the guy who's sitting one person away from me at this table. And he leans over to me and he says, have you heard... He's had a glass of wine. He says, have you heard what's going on at the Gold Club? And I said, in regards to what? He said, Patrick Ewing, what's your take on that? What are you doing on your show about that? Meanwhile, I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking...
You recognize him, but you don't recognize him?
I recognize him, right?
Right.
And he's saying to me, do you cover this on your show? And I'm looking at Rob, and I'm getting a look from Rob. Rob recognizes this dude.
Immediately.
Well, this dude is the host of Burden of Proof on CNN.
Roger...
Kosick.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, God, they're all over the cable.
Who was married, I guess, used to be married to the girl with the TMJ thing, what's her name, Greta Van...
Sustren.
Sustren. I didn't know they were divorced or that they split up or something.
Is he the MC?
Yeah, he's the main guy.
Okay, I know that guy.
So now you know the guy I'm talking about.
Sure, I know that guy very well.
This guy, I mean... He latches on to me,
right?
Like a dog humping a chair.
Sure.
He moves chairs over. He comes over. He's got me by the arm.
How is his breath?
Minty fresh, Mike. Minty fresh. So he's holding on to my arm, and he's saying, I will come on your show. It is a bold move for me, but I will come on your show. And I said, now you got to think about this. I said to him, I said, you're a couple of drinks ahead of me.
He would be great, like when we're talking about Robert Blake and stuff like that.
Whatever. I mean, he said,
I mean, there's always somebody getting busted for something, and he'd be great every time that happens.
He said to me, my life is an open book.
Oh.
You dish it out. You bust balls. I'll take it.
Bust balls right back at you.
Good for him.
And this time, I think he's still married to the lady with the clutch cargo
mouth.
Well,
he was never married to her, was he? I mean, they were partners on the show.
Was he doing her or something?
I don't know. They were on the show together.
Well, for whatever reason, I thought he was married to her.
Uh-huh. I watched that so often.
So
I think that they've got, he had some sort of marital thing, but I don't think that they were ever married.
Because I think he's married to the lady with the funky jaw, I say to him, well, how would you feel about coming on your show and talking about your wife? And he says, for sure, I'll talk about your wife. We can do this. And now he gets up to go do the emceeing part.
Right.
And as he leaves, someone says to me, are you talking to him about his wife? And I said, yeah, thinking it's Clutch Cargo. And they go, you know, his wife died.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, no, she didn't. And then, like this other guy at the table who keeps calling Rob A. Roger.
Right.
He says, oh, no, she passed away.
Oh.
But he's fine with it. He's made his peace with it. So yeah.
Wow. So he really didn't give you any reaction when you mentioned wife.
So I'm thinking now this guy's thinking I want to bring him on the show to talk about his dead wife.
Well, he does have balls when he's had a couple of glasses of wine.
Who I didn't even know was his dead wife. I thought his wife is the girl on CNN who I thought he was banging, involved with.
There we go.
So he comes back to the table.
You get any good CNN dirt out of the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we did.
There's a lot to be had.
Now, Rob, I do think that we are bound by some kind of...
We shouldn't say what...
We are bound by some kind of confidentiality agreement here.
So you'll tell me during the commercial break?
I'll just write down.
Okay.
You can learn most of it at tedturnovers.com.
Oh, really?
Anyway, No.
You see this?
Yeah. This is a big feeling at CNN.
Well, you
big
know.
Feeling inside CNN.
Sure, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a big
deal. You know, that's been, yeah, all right. That's very interesting. So you got a little detail on that.
So he has thoughts about that. I'm getting the stuff on all the people who work at CNN.
Right.
And he goes up and he starts doing the thing where he's, pulling the names out of the hat. And he's doing the auction and stuff. And that's my first sign that the fix is in.
Well, now you...
When I win the watch, because, you know, the manager of the place, the woman who's putting on the charity event, and the dude who's picking the names out of the hat...
Right.
They're all now,
sure,
friends of mine.
Well, now I'm coming around there. You know, now, you know, it's just the Tommy thing. I didn't think Tommy could pull it off. But, you know, if he's wrapping his arm around you before he goes up there.
So now, this is the first business card that he gave me. And as you can see, when he left the table.
Hey, did he put his first name on like that?
Oh, no, Rob A. did. When he left the table.
Rob put graffiti on his business card.
Rob wrote Dick
right
on this card, right? I mean, because he was goofing around because we thought...
I didn't think that his name was really Roger. Everyone was named Roger. I thought, right.
We thought, really, oh, well, listen, he's had a glass of wine. He gave his business card.
Very forward.
Pushy?
Yeah, a little bit.
He was. So he goes
your
up.
Face.
He goes up and he does his thing.
Right.
He comes back and he sits down at the table. And now the place is clearing out.
Right.
And, you know, I'm in no rush to leave. Frank, like always, you know, driving Miss Daisy.
Right.
Rob has driven me down there. I'm in Rob's car, so I'm, you know, at Rob's leisure. As the place is filing, people are leaving and filing out, it's us still sitting at the table with this guy, Roger Cossack from CNN, and the guy, the host of Burden of Proof.
Right.
And he's still at this point... He still's got this death grip on my arm now, and he's still saying, I want to come on your show. And I finally said to him, okay, how about tomorrow? He pulls out another business card, and he writes down office number, home number.
There you go. Huh?
Roger Cossack, Burden of Proof.
Okay.
I don't know if he's starved for attention.
Whatever. It'd be nice to have a CNN player on the show.
Frankly, and I'd like to see if he even remembers last night giving me these cards and grabbing me by the arm and saying, we should discuss Patrick Ewing. We should discuss, you know, and Rob was there. Rob heard me saying that, well, it was, you know, Patrick Ewing was getting a BJ in a hotel room.
In a strip joint, right? The Gold Club.
Also in a hotel room where someone was videotaping it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And we had started to discuss that.
Did Roger tell you this? That he had done that?
I had heard that.
Oh, okay.
And then Roger said to me, but the difference is, if that's you or me, we're in big trouble. He can get away with it because he's an athlete.
Yeah.
Because people love athletes.
Mm-hmm. They do.
What's your take on your show? And, you know, I'm looking around like, have we even, beyond when Buzz mentions this in the news?
I don't think we've had it as a major subject.
No. I remember what his opening line to you was after you were introduced to him. He said, Patrick Ewing, I bet you're all over that. Yeah, sure we are.
Hey, you like him, Rob?
Yeah, I do. No, you know what? Last night, at least, he was very friendly.
Well, he sounds like he was tremendously friendly. He gave you those numbers there. We should have him on the show.
Well, the last thing I said was, I'm going to call you on the show tomorrow. And he's a fine. Do it. You know, point me. Do it.
Yeah, like almost challenging you.
So let's,
Roger Cossack.
Yep.
Host of Burden of Proof
on CNN.
Hold on. Let me call it the office. Oh, he told us great stuff about CNN. I mean, all kinds of inside crap about CNN.
Well, for whatever reason, I thought he was involved with the girl with the TMJ mail.
No, I don't think so.
I think he just works.
She's a fellow counselor.
That show's on what time? Like 12:30 something? I mean, like in the afternoon? Lunchtime is the only time that show's on?
I think so. Let me check.
She just gave me a dummy line.
Being answered by Audix.
Roger Cossack.
Oh, yeah.
Not available. To leave a message, wait for the tone.
What are you saying oh, yeah for, bud?
And now I recognize this guy's voice.
Oh, record at the tone.
You just got it now?
Oh, hold on. I'll call him back so you can hear it again.
Well, the name was vaguely familiar, but when I heard his voice, I could picture his face. It's not a show everybody watches.
Buzz had this epiphany over there. I didn't know why he was going, oh, yeah. The Viagra kicked in or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought he saw something on his computer screen.
Although I do want you to go to the computer in a minute, Buzz, unrelated to this.
Okay.
Just to give you a warning.
All right, I'll be ready.
You're going to get an internet workout here in a second.
Cool.
Yeah, he's not there.
Your call is being answered by Audix.
Roger Cossack.
Is not available. To leave a message, wait for the tone. Otherwise, for assistance, press 0 now. Record at the tone.
Raj.
Roger.
You old dog. Don and Mike here.
Hello, Roger. We've never met. I wasn't at the restaurant last night, but my partner had a fantastic time with you.
How about that Patrick Ewing getting BJ's, huh? We are all over that, baby. All right, I'll try to call you at home.
Thanks, Roger.
And listen, incidentally, in case you're just getting this message, I thought you're married to Greta Van...
Susteren.
The Clutch Cargo Mouth.
Right. We didn't know.
Didn't know. Okay. Bye-bye. All right, I'll try him at home.
Very good.
What the hell?
If it was on at like 12:30, he probably is home right now.
Right now.
See?
Planning the news stories of the day, the trial of the day. Discuss the trials. You know, he became a star during the OJ deal.
Of listen.
So did she, and now, you know.
This is not a guy who I've been forcing to be on the show. This guy, you ask Rob. Begging to come on this show.
This is a great analyst about the legal system. If there's ever any trial, this guy's... And, you know, everybody loves that. That's why they have Court TV.
I like this guy.
One hell of a partier, I'll tell you that.
Hi, this is Roger Cossack. I'm not home right now. During the week, you can try me at Burden of Proof, which is
202.
I got it done.
Or just leave me your name, phone number, and a message, and I'll get back to you just as soon as I can. Thanks.
Hey. Hey, you son of a bitch. Hey.
Well.
Hey, well.
Well.
It's Don from the Don and Mike Show. I'm here with Mike now.
Hi, Roger. Don tells me you are a prince of a guy.
Had a great time last night.
We'd love to have you on the show.
Call back. I mean, if you have caller ID, you've got the hotline number. Call anytime.
Please do.
I've got your cards here.
We'd like to talk Patrick Ewing.
I'd also like to know, were you in on the fix for me to win the watch last night?
Very good.
And, sorry, I thought you were married to Greta Van Susteren. What's her name?
Susteren.
Susteren.
Susteren?
Susteren.
Were you involved with her?
Susteren or Susteren?
It's spelled Susteren, but it's pronounced Susteren.
Were you linked to her in any way? And can you speak about her mouth?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she has that Maria Shriver jaw clutch cargo mouth happening.
Large teeth.
Yes, she does. But all of the other stuff you told us about CNN last night is totally on the QT.
We wouldn't mind asking you about Robert Blake, too. I know I'd like to talk about Robert Blake.
Well, and I'd like to talk about Roger Cossack, man about town.
Man about town.
Man about town. So here we are calling. Call us back.
Please do.
But don't call right away because we have a famous wrestler coming on soon.
Good day to you, sir.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, you. You. Roger, you. You son of a bitch.
How about that Patrick Ewing, huh?
Getting BJs.
Boy, if that was us, we'd be dead.
Okay.
Bye, buddy.
There he goes.
To send your message, press 1. To re-record your message, press 2. To review your message, press 3.
I don't think we have to review it.
Press 9. To cancel your message, press star. Message sent. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you right now.
Well, there you go.
Very good.
That was my my brush with semi-greatness last night.
Boy, and were there any other luminaries in the room besides Roger Cossack?
I'm afraid to say that, well, frankly, you know, I'm an egotist. I consider myself to be a bigger celebrity locally, at least, in D.C. than he is.
Have they tended to our picture down there?
No.
No?
They have not.
Tommy.
They have not.
So it was you and Roger Cossack, and that was about it?
Well, I'm guessing we were at the power table.
Really?
That was it.
Okay.
Other than that, there was just a bunch of guys with big Carl Malden-like noses who kept leaning over and calling Robbie Roger.
Right. So, Roger, what do you do on the show?
And more than one of them came up to Rob and said, you're Mike, right?
I was about to get into that, but I think the best question that was asked to me all night was the guy who couldn't get enough red wine. He was right next to me. Said, what's your take on the Imus phenomenon?
The Imus phenomenon? Right, yeah.
So that's what he enjoys. So we had plenty to discuss.
The phenomenon that in Washington, they moved him to a tiny little station where he can't be heard.
You're right, Rob. That guy could not get enough of the grape, could he?
He was like, can we get a little more of this Chardonnay?
What was the average age of the room?
100 years.
Yeah, 100 years. Well, yeah, we were definitely the youngest guys there.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. So that's night last night, and
I hope Roger calls us.
So do I.
Yeah.
So I'm in the car with Rob, you know, being driven back home, and I call my house, and I say, honey, you know, great news. At this point, I don't know the fix is in. I think I'm simply, you know, like you, the lucky
and the
guy.
Golden boy,
shine again.
Mm-hmm.
I call my house, and I say, hey, Frida, guess what? I won a raffle tonight. I won a watch. I'm going to give you a beautiful watch that I won. And she said, oh, great. We are just getting out of the pool. Now, I know that my kid went to a party last night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, who is in my pool? And my wife announces that she and the British lady are skinny dipping.
Well.
Yeah.
You know, you need some kind of music to go along with that. You know, that just would have sounded that would have sounded so much better with a saxophone.
My
some
music,
sort of
where's the
you know what I mean, Ron?
Yeah.
It just when Don said that, it would have been perfect.
They were skinny dipping.
See, that works a lot better.
And apparently I missed it just by moments.
Like during the middle of the day?
No, last night when...
last night?
Last night when I was at this function and when my kid was at a party.
They were out back skinny dipping.
Yes, the two
and
of them.
And they enjoyed a little of the grape?
Well, when I... Yeah. When I came home, there was two wine glasses sitting in the kitchen counter.
Really?
Yes, really.
You know...
my wife has lesbian tendencies.
Well, I'm trying to think...
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. I'm trying to think sexual, and it just if it's two people, and they go into the pool together naked, there has to be some thread of sexuality.
I do not disagree with you.
And if there wasn't, there should have been.
I think
I think all women are potential lesbians.
Well,
and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No.
My wife has. That's fine. Didn't she kiss your wife, Buzz?
Yes, they did.
Yes, they kissed.
When that song "I Kissed a Girl" was out,
honey.
Yes, my boo-boo.
I'm just discussing your late night skinny dipping with the British lady.
Well, it was pitch black, but I wish you wouldn't say that. Now, we'll attract crowds.
How did it happen?
Thank you.
How did it come up, so to speak?
You're a master journalist.
It was a movie.
Yeah.
And ended, and I said, let's go skinny dipping. I find with my women, the direct approach is most effective.
What was the movie?
Space Cowboy, yeah, and Clint Eastwood really turned us on. Seeing all those, you know, 60 or 70-year-old fannies got us going.
So you actually were the one who suggested to go skinny dipping.
Yeah.
And then how did you two get naked in front of, did you get naked in front of each other?
Well, it would be kind of stupid to go into the bathroom and then walk out naked.
Could you walk us through it, please? Did you undress each other?
No. We took off our clothes. Slowly, of course.
Come on. Really, what'd you do?
We took off our clothes and got in the pool.
Now, did you take off your clothes poolside?
Yes.
So you went outside and dropped your clothes off, just like in the movies?
Went out, got the toe in to see if it was warm. Said, oh, it's nice out here. Let's go swimming.
Did you play any games in the pool?
No, we just kind of stretched.
Was there any bodily contact while you two were naked in the pool?
No, the pool was not that crowded. It wasn't like the YMCA used to be when I was 12 when it was jam-packed.
Well, I understand that, but you can always find a corner of the pool.
Did you swim in the same area of the pool, or...
Sugar Bear, we don't have the Olympic size pool.
I know we don't, but listen, we got like anybody's got a pool in their backyard. We got a deep end and we got a shallow end.
So we were swimming all about chatting as we swam.
So you had to be pretty close to be able to chat.
Were you in the shallow area?
Your voices carry over water.
Were you in the shallow end?
No, I was mostly in the deeper end.
Did your head go underwater?
I had water up to my waist with my hands on my hips.
Did you submerge your head?
Yeah, I did, because that's the way you get the best stretch. So I did, the whole...
Was there any, that stuff where you, you put them on your shoulders and you ride them around the pool? Was there any of that?
And there was no, but Marco Polo would have been a good idea, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like just hearing about this.
Really? So you're the one who initiated the contact.
It was my idea. Yeah, I have to say.
When you got out of the pool afterwards, it's not done yet, Buzz. This is too damn good.
Really, I had no excuse. My idea, my house. I have swimsuits here, obviously.
It was fun. It was spontaneous.
No need. It was pitch black. No stars out.
How much wine, conservatively, had you enjoyed? Had you both killed a bottle?
No.
As much as you had to drink last week?
No, we didn't. We didn't drink a bottle of wine last night, no.
No, okay. But last week you guys did.
Well, I had sobered up since last week.
When you got out of the pool, take us through that, would you please?
Got out. Shook like a dog for a while.
No, come on, really. Honey, what did you do? You walked out of the shallow end.
I grabbed the towel, which was several paces away from the pool so it wouldn't get damp.
Did you get out first?
Yes. And as the good hostess, I tossed the other towel closer to my guest.
But she still had to walk out of the pool naked to get her towel.
Well, right, because you wouldn't want a wet towel.
No,
right.
No.
So the towel had to be away from the sun.
And then how did you dress then?
Well, then I just had wrapped the towel around me because I did not have to run home.
And did you both go and lay in the hammock?
No,
did you have a hammock? I don't even know if you
have
a hammock.
Yeah, we do.
Oh. Yeah,
don't you remember? Because when Jimmy the intern was spent the night in our house one time.
Oh, he slept in the hammock.
He banged a girl in our hammock.
Right.
When you put the towel on around you, did she drop her towel to the floor to retrieve her underpants and her bra if she was wearing one?
Gosh, I wish I had paid closer attention.
So do I.
I'm not sure about the lingerie, what she was wearing in that regard.
Did she get dressed in front of you?
And she didn't go into a different room, right?
Would you describe the event as erotic?
Not for me, but we thought we heard a car, and we thought my husband had come home. So
that would have been erotic for me.
That would have.
How would you have played that if Don had indeed arrived home at that hour?
I knew exactly, because she was a little uptight. She said, "Oh, is that your husband?" And she didn't want to be discovered. And I said, "If that's him, he'll take one look and he'll run inside, covering his eyes."
Well.
So you think.
And then he'll look out the window.
Yeah, right.
Little tiny binoculars.
Maybe she might have been thinking, the neighbor might have been thinking that it was all a divine plan.
Yes.
That they would skinny dip and then you would arrive surprised.
Be like, what?
As you loosened your tie.
Yeah, quite.
What are you doing here? Hello.
Hello.
Hello, why? Look at me bum. I'm nude in your pool.
I don't think, really, because I have a small pool also, I don't think there's anything as really as erotic as a pool. I think there's something, a pool is, you know, gets, at least my wife and I, gets us going.
Do you skinny dip in your pool often?
I skinny dipped in my pool as early as Sunday morning.
Well, there you go.
I had a reason. I had a medical reason. I did it at 6:45.
Oh, that was part of the hangover after you put your face in the face in the sink with the ice water.
In the ice water, I forgot to tell you that. I also took the full plunge.
Oh, the full cold plunge.
That is the only reason I have a pool.
When you get hungover.
Somebody told me a long time ago it's the best thing, but it's also, I find it, when I'm in there alone, very erotic.
All right, honey. Well, that's the story. My wife, part lesbian. I've always thought it.
You seem to enjoy the whole
thing. What guy wouldn't?
Yeah, sure.
I'm fine with that.
You just, stay closer to home when those things are going on.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You didn't even put it together with her. I just got in the bikini wax that day.
No, I didn't. You're right. Yeah, you had told me you're going to have that done.
And the summer is just starting.
Imagine that. You know, I guess you know your priority. When it's just going to be me, who cares? Who cares if it looks like an old lot that hasn't been tended to? But you got your girlfriend coming over to go skinny dipping. Right. Well, you got to wax yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. I know the priority. All right, sweetie.
Goodbye.
All right.
Thanks for watching.
Oh, you're welcome. Love you. Oh, the fix was in on that.
Oh, good. Well, keep them coming.
All right.
Goodbye, see you.
Bye-bye. Oh, and Rob just wrote a note. Looking forward to France. All right. Bye, sweetie.
No need to bring a suit, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God.
Bye-bye.
Now I'm getting a little nauseous.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Swinging Don. That's official. You are officially a swinger. When your wife...
How can I be...
Any different...
How can I be...
Neighbor.
How can I be a swinger if I'm not even there?
Past experiences. She feels totally comfortable going skinny dipping since you guys have already had swingers experience. Because
you dance with them, you get with them.
Come on now, Dawn.
Now listen, they are good friends of ours, but I've never seen her naked.
Hello. You got to keep her busy. You got to give her some projects.
Don Mike show.
That whole conversation is nothing more than a flashback to Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Judge Reinhold and Phoebe Cates coming out of the pool.
All right.
He enjoyed it.
Thank you, Mike.
You know what's coming to my house tomorrow?
What?
Ditch Witch. A ditch witch.
Is that a product or a name?
It's a heavy piece of construction equipment. It's used for digging trenches.
Is that the new job your wife's doing?
She will be digging a trench out to the backyard and putting PVC pipe in for the electrical cable that she will be running to the shed.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Radio guy.
Hi there.
Have you ever asked Frida if she was to have a real fantasy, a lesbian fantasy, who would it be with?
All right.
Ernest D. Bass.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
Really brought him out.
Hi, Radio Gods.
Hi.
Don, out of respect, I usually try to not put Frida in the Beach Tail Club, but I'm sure there's millions of us right now that are just...
All right. Enjoy, my friend.
Well, that was... You can appreciate that.
It was an erotic moment. Yeah. That's why I brought it up. Beach Tail moment. My wife's skinny dipping with our hot British neighbor.
There you go.
Hello.
And then you suddenly come home early.
Why, what's going on here?
Wow, fantastic. And then you keep your tie, shirt and tie on and just minus the pants. take the ST plus.
You know what? I don't know how she'll feel about it. Maybe I'll call the other girl in the next break.
That's a wonderful idea.
Call Sarah.
I know that I and a lot of Beach Tail members out there would enjoy that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear exactly how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are probably our closest neighbors on the street, and they've been at our house like a million times. Yet she's never dropped trow around me before.
You know, when you swim naked together, it's a whole new level of friendship.
I guess so. That's a level I don't know, Mike. I hope to know that, though, with skinny dipping.
However, I don't want to be involved in the skinny dipping. I just like to watch the skinny dipping.
Do you kind of guess that if you did come around the corner and jump in the pool naked, it would be like the Baby Ruth scene in Caddyshack? You know,
like with Jaws.
With them scattering out of the pool.
No! Yeah, it'd be like Jaws with Roy Schneider's running up and down the beach and people are like, moms are grabbing their kids and they're running and running and running.
That's any guy. That's any suburban guy.
All right, to clear the lines here, let's go to... number 100 caller.
To Baby Ruth.
Give a prize pack away. Give you a chance to win a color TV right now at 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Strickland Propane tastes the meat, not the heat.
Hello, Hank?
Speaking.
How you doing? It's Matt.
Who is this?
Consenting Adults, the country's largest supplier of mail-order adult entertainment. Somebody can put you down for.
Zero. God, please, watch your mouth. This is an interstate phone line. How did you get this number?
Not important. What is important is that we have a bigger selection and lower prices than Arlen Video.
What? Arlen Video told you I rent pornography? Who plays the most hits? Y-104. Yeah, okay. That crazy morning zoo.
Somewhere between the taste of the scab and the smell of the Band-Aid lies the Don and Mike Show.
I just saw Mick Foley get here. We'll wheel him in a second. Some kind of miss. Time now for call number 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. Am I the winner?
Yeah. What's your name?
Lucy.
Hi, Lacey. Where are you from?
Annandale.
Lacey Underall.
Ah, Lacey. How about mowing my lawn?
Lacey, let me see you first.
Not Lacey, Lucy.
Oh, Lucy. Lucy, you want a Frappuccino a day for a month from Starbucks.
Yay!
Along with a Starbucks travel mug. But wait, there's more. You've also won free pay-per-view showing of WWF King of the Ring June 24th.
Oh, excellent.
Of WWF Comcast and Cobb's Cable. And you qualified for our weekly prize on Friday. You might win a 36-inch Panasonic color TV from Gafridi Audio Vareal.
Vareal.
Always overstocked, never undersold. Gafridi Audio Video. Make sure you are listening to Friday's episode when we give away the big screen TV.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank
you. How's Wendell?
Come again? Is this
juicy? How is Wendell?
Is this juicy, Lucy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Hold on, juicy Lucy. Hold
He's
on.
Still tired and sore.
Hold on. don't go anywhere.
I won't.
I want to call my neighbor, and then I want to get Wendell in here to talk to you.
Okay.
Wow. Hold on a second. Juicy Lucy.
Just saying.
Okay, let me... Let me just try my British neighbor.
All right.
Before I forget what I'm doing here.
We'll get the latest on the skinny dip situation.
Yep, skinny.
She's British.
Yes.
Adding an erotic international flavor. And more details, I hope.
Yes.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, hey, Sarah.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, great.
we're calling.
Yippee-D.
What? Come again?
I said, oh, yippee-dee.
Oh, yippee-dee.
Yippee-dee.
We are calling about the skinny dipping last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just a rumor.
No, it's not a rumor. Frida's already told us about it.
Oh, you know, she said she was going to make up this big whopping fib about her skinny dipping.
She was going to do what?
She said she was going to make up a fib about it.
Well, no, she didn't. As soon as I walked in last night, she said, oh, you just missed it. Sarah and I were down here swimming naked.
But we switched all the lights off so we wouldn't embarrass you.
Yes, but you did get naked in front of each other.
Well, you know, girls do that.
How was the experience?
The experience was incredible. You know, there's nothing like, especially the temperature of your pool, just having the water enveloping you.
Going into all of your various nooks and crannies.
Normally my nooks and crannies, that's exactly right, Don.
Boy, I like this. Something about the accent.
Yeah, I told you, she's a, you know, my wife's a piece of ass, and frankly, so is this lady.
There you go.
I tell you, your wife's figure is even better naked, believe me.
Wow.
Oh. And you hey, tell me there's not lesbian stuff happening.
Where's
here?
That saxophone now, huh?
Tell
hey,
me.
Hey.
Oh, hold on. Is that Gary?
My wife.
Hey, Gary.
There goes my moment.
You don't know that I listen in on all these calls, mate.
Do you know that they got naked last night?
Well, yeah.
Yes, but it was very clean. You know, we appreciate the female form.
Sure, so do we.
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
I've got some great photos.
Listen, Gary, tell me the truth. When she got home last night,
yeah.
Did she tell you what happened?
Yeah, she did.
She did?
She did. She did. In fact, we spent hours drawing pictures.
We're drawing pictures.
I tell you, you know how from leaving your house at the hill, I was so invigorated from my naked swim that I ran all the way home.
Ran all the way home. They live about six houses from us.
That's terrific.
Her husband's arms.
Into her husband's arms. All right, well, listen, do you consider yourself to be part lesbian now?
I do.
You'd love that, wouldn't you? I mean, what is this male thing?
I would love, I would love it. Gary, wouldn't you love it if our wives were lesbians together?
Well,
only if you could watch.
Only if we could sort of watch occasionally.
Yeah,
I'd like to compliment you, Sarah. You are entertaining a large section of our audience right now.
Well, can you imagine what stories they're going to come back from France with?
I am looking for. I'm bringing in a beach towel in here myself.
And don't forget, we're bringing a Speewax with us too.
Well, you know that'll probably, you know, with Rob, it'll cut down on the erotic nature of things. but for pure comic value, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I just, Gary, I didn't even know you'd be at home. Frankly, I thought you'd be at work, but I'm glad you know that this has happened between our wives.
I know, I think it's awesome.
Well, we're just heading down there now, but with bikinis on this time.
With bikinis? Oh, what, are you going to go, are you swimming again today?
Yes, indeed.
Indeed.
Well, I've got the feel for it now, you see.
There you go, the feel for it.
Uh-huh. All right, have a good time, you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you should look quiet.
Sam.
How was she? Was she good?
I bet when we get them into France, we'll be getting in their pants.
Did you? But you know what she'd say? I don't want him. Look at him.
I want her.
I mean, you're all right. She'd do you. But what am I supposed to do him?
I don't know. Don't sell yourself short, mate.
Look at him. I couldn't possibly allow myself to be with him.
Go on, and who's his friend? With a crew cut. Look at him.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know what we'll do. We'll get him and the other one with the head. And we'll get... Oh, no, they'd probably want your wife involved in it too, Rob. It'd probably be just you and I, where we wake up one morning and they go, hey, Don and Rob, will you be a dear and take the car into town and get us all some coffee? We'll get you some coffee. But go three towns over.
Yeah, and then you come back and they're all in bed. In bed together.
It won't be anywhere that involved. Don, Rob, another drink?
Yeah.
Have another drink.
Yeah.
Right. Another drink, boys?
Sure.
And then
you two will pass out by the three-channel television.
11 o'clock in the morning. Sure. We're gone to the world.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Your wife's fantastic.
She's absolutely marvelous. We set it up. We set it up when we're back in the States. We knew when we'd get to France. We knew when we got to France that we would have an opportunity.
We'd take her.
And she willingly went menage a trois. And then it was a menage a quoi.
That.
Kerry, thank you so much. Those two jugheads have gone down to the local market. And I, Gary, have had them all.
Yeah.
I've had them all to myself. It was a week of sex in France.
So easy to get rid of them. You send them down, you say to the one of them, well, you can go down and buy yourself a Cuban cigar.
Right.
And you say to the other one, you go down there and get yourself a nice Foster's Lager.
And they were off. And they were the better part of 4 hours.
And look at them. They dress the same with their ridiculous Hawaiian shirts.
Look at them, giggling like schoolgirls as they make fun of people for their funny-sounding accents.
I don't understand it, Gary. We followed your shortcut directions to a T, and we ended up in Lisbon.
So glad you're back. Rob, I've enjoyed the sex all day long.
Your wives
Incredible.
Fantastic.
Hello, mates.
Listen, lads, we're going out for a bit of a sightsee. We know you're not up for that type of thing, so we'll be back around dusk and enjoy your day. There's a television in the hotel lobby.
Great.
And, you know, that's what
and a martini
would,
bar.
That's what it would be. It would be. Now, Rob, Don, I know you don't want to go see the kinds of things we're going to see, but look here. There's a rerun of, I believe, a show called My Two Dads.
Men.
So if you two would like to stay and watch the television and have your drinks.
Lads, we're off to explore the French Riviera. I understand that there's a McDonald's, one of your McDonald's, that just opened in the town square.
And, what a good. Well, look at the telly and go to the McDonald's.
Enjoy your day. We're going to several museums. We know you're not into that type of thing, but please enjoy the rest of the day. There's a box of cigars that I purchased in your room.
Yeah, meanwhile, they get in the little clown car. They just drive down to whatever the hotel F me is. Three blocks down the road. Your husband's sorry, Frida. Your husband's a none the wiser. As he's doing all four women at the same time.
Hello, lads. Well, it's another day here in France.
Listen, or all three women. Three. Excuse me.
Oh, they probably picked up another one.
We're going deep into the French wine country. We know you're not really up for that type of activity, but please enjoy the fact that we discovered an arcade. That's one of the French arcades in the town square. We'll see you later on.
Whack-a-mole.
There you go, yes. Play all day, whack-a-mole. All sorts of new ones, of course, they're in France, and they speak French, so you'll be able to make fun of them.
We're going to need the auto, so we went to a wonderful bicycle gump for two.
So pedal on down to the town square. We're off to the wine region. We'll catch you boys later.
Meanwhile, they get down there, and it's like, clothes off, banging each other silly while they're...
Gary's just sitting there going, oh, Sarah, Frida, Gary. Oh, this is lovemaking like I've always wanted it.
And they're going, you know, well, the American women are going, oh, Gary, you're so incredible. You're such a better lover than our big, loafy American husband.
That's wonderful. Sarah, Gary, Frida, show each other you care. Very lovely. Then, of course, they have the big laugh. I wonder if those boys were enjoying each other at the arcade.
You don't know.
I know, Mel.
You
maybe
don't know that there is a chance. Albeit maybe a small one, but there's a chance that could happen.
Wouldn't you say there's a pretty good chance that sometime on that trip, the two of you will venture out?
No, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
I would guarantee after the first day, Rob and I get lumped together.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them all go out and do stuff together.
Absolutely.
And it'll be
museuming, boutiquing.
It'll be me and Rob.
Sure.
Watching French TV.
You'll just see the...
Searching for the Price is Right.
We'll find Roger Kozik.
You'll see Gary, Sarah, Frida, and Carrie, you know, all holding hands. Actually, with the women on either side of him as they walk through the town square and the pigeons fly away.
That's right. Wishing on a fountain.
As they're frolicking naked in the fountain.
There will be frolicking.
Hello.
Bloody good.
Hello. Did you boys have a nice time?
We did. I scored 6,000.
I found me some Hot Pockets.
Oh, good for you.
Jolly good. I have certainly enjoyed your one, the day.
And look, the day, yeah. And look here, Don, Rob. Look what's on the telly tonight. Why, it's Mikhail's Navy.
In French.
Yoo-hoo.
Enjoy. That's your evening. We're going off to the local bistro.
Goodbye.
And, of course, afterwards, the discotheque.
Don't wait up. Now, listen. Oh, Rob. Donnie. So glad you're here. I wanted to tell you something. The most awful thing happened today. We were out for a walk, and a giant scorpion out of nowhere came out and bit that. That's why your wives' bottoms are bleeding. You'll notice that all of your wives' bottoms are bleeding. They're rectally bleeding. Wow.
Oh, my.
But that still doesn't explain the sore throat.
Hi. Now, you'll have to excuse me. I'm off for a bit of a soak. I'm a little tender.
And a nap.
As you might add. A soak and a nap. Absolutely. A brief visit.
I am not. You know, and this awful, this reptile came out and bit them all.
Some sort of French dragon.
Bit them in the bums.
Oh, pardon these circles under my eyes. I'm absolutely drained and I'm famished.
I can eat.
How about a bit of meal? How about a bit of supper? Mmm, tasty.
And there'd probably be another ruse with Sarah sitting around at the table going, hello, hey, Dawn and Rob, I know you weren't with us today, but girls, have you noticed that just the climate of being over here in a foreign country, it's made me nipples so tender. Absolutely so tender to the touch.
And they all seem to be glowing. It must be the climate.
It's going to be a lovely time in France.
It is.
Sure is.
Hello, I'm Lucky Gary.
LG.
LG, Lucky Gary.
Sarah, Frida, Carrie, we're so glad that you two married such stupid, big, dumb, fat American men.
Drink up, Shriners. We're off to the spa. We know you're not up for that sort of thing, so we're off to the spa.
See you in the morning. Get some sleep. Now, girls, it's time. We're going to play the train game. Who wants to be the choo-choo today?
And as usual, I, Gary, will be the conductor. Here we go.
Yesterday it was Sarah, Frida, Carrie. Today, Gary, Sarah, Frida. And who's the caboose?
It's me, Gary.
Wow.
Gary the caboose. Gary wins.
Now that's what I call a conga line.
Yeah.
Bravo. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Right.
Yeah,
he's very, very low-key, isn't he? Very, very cool.
He was very mellow, very cool about that. I noticed that on the phone.
Yes,
he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Be afraid.
He had it all planned out.
Be very afraid.
That's right. But bloody good. Bloody good.
Tally work, huh?
All right. Well, he seemed unfazed by that news that my wife has become a lesbian with his wife. And whatever. You know, I'll let you know what happens.
It's all a grand plan.
Yeah. Yeah. What's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Absolutely. Of course.
Anything that happens is between him and the ladies.
It's between him and the ladies.
Hello, ladies. Do you think he'll be wearing one of those European suits?
Oh, no.
God damn, I hope not. He is British.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, that's about enough, my darling. I was laughing for the first half hour.
Hello, are they there yet?
No, she was joking. That's enough.
She was joking about what?
About coming down now.
Oh, they're not really coming down to go swimming now?
No, sweet pea.
All right, my love.
All right, that's enough. New topic now.
I think we've exhausted it.
Yeah, I think.
I think we have.
Okay.
I do. Oh, all right, honey.
All right, goodbye, sweetheart.
All right, bye-bye. There she goes.
Oh, God.
God, your wife's magnificently good. Sarah's described her nude figure to me for the last 2 weeks, mate.
Now, your boy's going to go off and buy some T-shirts today.
All right, let's break. And when we come back...
I love France.
No, we get the pictures. I heart France. I heart France. Robin, I'm with berets. Coming back with those little tiny French flags. Like a couple of friggin' mooks.
A little berets, but they got the Eiffel Tower on
top.
Rubber Eiffel Tower on our head.
Oh, God.
My parents went to France and all they brought me was the stinking teacher. These are great.
Meanwhile, our wives are bleeding.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we got a break because Mick Foley is here. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Don?
Yes,
and Mike. Hi.
Hi, it's Lucy.
Oh, Lucy. Thank you. Where is Wendell Hall?
Wendell Hall. Wendell Hall, come to the studio.
Anybody doesn't remember. I was it 6 months ago, Juicy Lucy?
November was the last time I saw him, yeah.
All right, wow. So November, we're talking at least 6 months, 7, 8 months maybe, since a romance started between Juicy Lucy and Wendell. We had an on-air contest to find a date for our very lonely engineer, Wendell Hall. And as it turns out, this gal, Juicy Lucy, she won the date with Wendell.
Yes, she did.
And they started a rather heated romance. And when's the last time Wendell called you, Juicy Lucy?
Say again?
When's the last time Wendell called you? When's the last time he called you?
When's the last time he called me?
The last time.
Lucy, are you having trouble with the phone?
Yeah.
When's the last time Wendell called you?
November.
November.
Last time I saw him, too.
The last time you saw him. So you two no longer see each other?
I think Lucy's got a crappy...
We may have lost her, even.
She's on a bad cell.
Wendell,
are you relieved?
Call back, Lucy.
Call back, Juicy Lucy. What?
I'll call back when I get home.
No, we're going to be on the... What would you like to say to Wendell right now? He's here.
Oh, just hi.
Hey, babe, how you doing?
Hey, babe, how you doing?
Hey, baby. Haven't called her since November, huh, Wendell?
Right.
Why? What happened there, Wendell?
She was cracking me up today. I swear to God, between the skinny dipping and now this is like one right after the other.
What happened?
There was just, you know, a moment. And she's
gone. She can be honest now.
Speak your mind. Her cell phone just crapped out.
Well, in as few words as possible, there came a point where she said to me that she felt used. And at that point, you know, it's like, can I find a rock to grow under?
Really?
And that's when
listen to Wendell. Listen to this. I mean, listen to Wendell's low-key delivery today.
So mellow. Hey, babe.
Why are you so mellow today?
It's just this topic.
Oh, it's really? Just this topic? Yeah.
So she said she felt used, yeah. And you felt like crawling under a rock.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to point out, you know, let me be fair and balanced here. She did call in on a radio contest. To win a date with you, right?
I thought we were having a good time. I thought things were going.
Didn't we even pay her to go out with you? Wasn't that the first?
Mm-hmm.
We paid her $250.
And you guys hit it off.
Yeah.
You had lots of sex.
I remember we had so much sex. You were sore. Tired. Tired and sore. I remember you had steak, right? You guys had steak together after you had sex one time, or maybe before?
Sex and steak.
That's what I remember was sex and steak.
Mm-hmm. That was...
What was that, Robbie?
Hold on.
That was your brother, Jim.
Oh, that was my brother.
Sex and steak.
Who said he would like to, he'd like to get his job driving a truck back, but he'd rather be home having sex and steak.
Right.
Sex and steak was another call.
Never really that much apart. It was, you know, restaurants were in the way and stuff.
So after she said this, did you peel out of her, like, parking lot in your Jeep, or were you upset?
No, she left my place, and that's the last I saw her.
Oh, and you never called after that?
So what message do you have? If she called in today, what's your message out to her?
I figured if she wanted to talk to me, she'd call me, and I haven't heard, so...
Would you like to use her for a little more sex?
Would you? Yeah, the fact that she's calling...
But then, up until that point, I wasn't thinking that.
You weren't using her, is that what you're saying?
Upside the head.
Did you have feelings for her?
I was starting to have some feelings for her. Okay. We talked about that.
All right, hold on. Didn't she call in and do the whole thing about using the love word? Didn't she tell you she loves you?
I don't think so.
But you had a relationship. You didn't look at it or has just, you know,
a hole in the mattress.
Yeah, an FB.
It was growing well beyond that.
So she was well beyond being an FB.
Yeah.
So you were pretty banged up when she said that to you.
So to speak. Right, thank you, Rob.
You were a little upset when she said that, but not so upset as that.
I wasn't upset at her. I was like, my God, what have I done?
See, this is a problem with Wendell, I think, because he gets down on himself too much. He said he wanted to crawl under a rock when she said she felt used. Well, he shouldn't have felt that way.
You know, Wendell,
should have discussed it.
You know what that is? You get out your Swiss Army knife, and that's a notch on your bedpost right there.
Sure.
Another one bites the dust. Don't forget the four F's.
Where should I put the notch?
The four F's.
There's so much room.
Find them. Feel them. F them. Forget them.
Kudos to the man who's married 20 years.
Well, I remember that from high school. I remember that from high school.
I know.
The four F's.
I do. And ball.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Did you ball her? Yeah, I balled her. I balled her good.
Rubber balls of liquor.
All right, Wendell. Well, hold on. She's back. Hello. Hey, Juicy Lucy.
Yes.
So you felt Wendell was using you for sex?
Look, he forgot a major part of that conversation.
Okay, what did he forget?
I said I wanted more in the relationship, and he said, okay, I have to go to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. I'll call you. We'll talk about it. And he never called me back.
So it's a clerical error.
He's the one that just me.
Is that true, Wendell?
It's true that I had to go to my parents' house for Thanksgiving. Let's not even start on my parents' Thanksgiving.
Is it true that you said you'd call me when you got back and you never did? Yes.
You see, you never called her after she wanted to get a little more serious. Well, you can be honest with us.
I honestly don't remember saying that I would call her. I just remember it being like I'd been slapped. You felt bad.
So you said something that hurt Wendell's feelings.
You don't think that hurt my feelings? You said he was going to call and talk about it, and he never called.
No, but before that...
But you said to Wendell before he said that, though, you said to him that you felt like he was using you for sex?
I said, I just want more from this relationship. Can we move, you know, to the next level or whatever?
At any point during...
I started at a pretty bad level.
Lucy,
but,
Lucy, at any point... Lucy...
At any point during the conversation, did you say you feel used?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did. Okay. And then you said to Wendell said, I got to go to my mom and dad's for Thanksgiving. I'll call you.
He said, he said the part that he felt like crawling under a rock, and he felt
I didn't
sad.
Say anything about
and
feeling like crawling under a rock. I didn't say a damn word.
Oh, now listen, hold on
a second. No, that's not true. You did say the rock part, and then you said,
I didn't say anything about
my
it.
Parents, hey, what? We'll talk about it when I get back, and you never called me.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, it takes two people to not be in touch, Lucy. If it was really that important, you could have called Wendell.
Do you still have feelings for Wendell, Lucy?
Yes.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more than sexual feelings for him?
Yeah.
As a lover, rate him 1 to 10.
10.
10.
10. 10.
Wow.
As a man, rate him as a man. You know, what's underneath the, you know,
scale of 1 to 10.
The heart, the soul. Rate him as a man.
What do you mean by that? The heart, the soul?
Rate him as a man.
Rate him.
What he's got inside.
No, not just the sexual elements, the man. Wendell the man. What do you rate Wendell the man? Scale of 1 to 10. Easy question.
Well, okay, when he didn't call me, I felt like...
No, right now. Just right now, honey.
A number.
Rate him. He's already.
Before that incident, I thought he was a great guy.
What do you think he is right now? He's already held up fingers to show us what he believes you consider him to be as a man on a 1 to 10 scale.
Before that incident, I thought he was a 10.
And now?
Well...
Give it a number.
Come on.
It's the only way we can figure out if you kids have a chance.
What's that?
I don't think they have a chance. That's
give
just
him
my
a number,
opinion.
Honey.
I'm too annoyed right now.
Give him a number.
I can't give him a number. He's hanging up.
Okay, all right. He thinks that you thought he would be a 3.
And Wendell, let me ask you.
Look,
I'll ask you the same.
Hey, remember my honeymoon cystitis?
Okay. No, I didn't know that. Okay.
Sorry.
I was in the hospital for that S.
Oh, no. I only heard she was in the hospital for her honeymoon cystitis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wendell, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate Juicy Lucy as a lover.
Oh, she was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Give her a number.
Definitely a 10.
A 10. And as a woman, how do you rate her as a woman? How do you rate her as a woman, Wendell? How do you rate her? What's the number? As a woman.
Considering my vast knowledge of women.
Yes.
And how to deal with them.
Yeah.
I can tell you what not to do.
Well, no, just give her a number, please. I have a famous wrestler waiting to come in and be on our show.
And we need total honesty, Wendell.
Absolutely a 10.
Oh, okay. A 10.
Wow. All right. He just gave you 2 tens, Lucy.
That would be 20.
He's right.
Because you're talking about your hospital stay.
Hospital cystitis.
God. I'm in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you still interested in this girl, Wendell?
Well, how long has it been? Has there been anybody in between?
Reno.
Oh,
the prostitute.
So there's been no one. That's what he's interested in, I think.
Huh? If she would meet you tonight, would you have sex with her tonight?
I got band practice tonight.
Would you have sex with her? Would you have sex after band practice with her?
Band practice runs pretty late.
All I'm saying is, you know, if there was the opportunity after band practice, would you have sex with her after band practice?
I think that would take an awful lot of soul searching. Because when she said she felt used, I really did feel.
Would you have sex tonight with Wendell after band practice, Lucy?
No.
Okay.
I think that says it all.
Relationship, I think, is over. It's very sad because he gave you a 10 as a woman. He gave you a 10 as a lover.
Mm-hmm. And I did the same. I gave him a 10 as a lover and a man, too.
Yes, but you gave him a 10 as a man before.
I could sleep with him after having seen him in 6 months.
Well, yeah, honey, you slept with him after you won $250 at a radio contest.
Right. And, you know, you had him before.
It's not like you don't know the guy.
But he didn't hurt my feelings then.
I understand.
He hurt my feelings.
All right, Lucy. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you and Wendell.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Hey, Wendell.
Yeah, thanks for putting crap first.
Hey.
The band.
There you go, man.
That's all you care about, the band.
That's all I care about.
I'll be out playing in traffic if y'all need me.
All right.
No, Wendell, don't be discouraged.
He gets down like that. That's wrong.
Are you down, Wendell? And really, come on. You got to make it fast because we have to break for Mick Foley here.
I'm all right. I've had a lot of time to think about this. November was a long time ago, and...
It's a
learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't feel badly.
Fond memories.
Don't feel badly.
Had a wonderful time while it lasted.
Right.
It was a good thing.
I think right now a relationship is, you know, it's going to get in the way, Samir.
The way of the band.
Yeah.
Get in the way of him setting up your band for practice.
Well, see, that's the thing. The thing that I'm primarily focused on working on right now is acquiring groupies for the band that aren't married to the band members.
There you go.
Very good.
Fantastic. Thank you, Wendell.
Thanks for coming. Our engineer, Wendell Hall.
Put the music first, Wendell.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
You're a bastard. Because you just care about your band.
I do. I do. Hey, I accept that title. Gladly.
That man's
bastard.
Feelings are on the line.
Hey, that man's got a job to do, Don.
And you won't even let him sleep in your driveway.
You know, next time he can sleep in the backyard.
Okay.
Absolutely, because of this today.
Okay.
I'm moved.
Okay.
I'm touched.
Time out. Got a break. Be right back with the famous wrestler Mick Foley.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the science building. Great.
They go together like Vicodin and Methadone. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, bring Mick down. He's been here for a while we were on the phone with my neighbor and then working out the Wendell stuff.
I just saw him upstairs, and he's cool. You're going to like to keep a man like that waiting.
Yeah, no.
He was upstairs getting a candy bar, and he was there looking big.
I'd like to see if Mick could do two breaks today. Maybe one break just to answer our questions. Then see if he's up for some phone calls from everybody.
Very good.
I think the last time he was here, I think we pretty much monopolized him to ourselves, right?
Yes, and he is hot. You know, whenever you see the people gathering in the lobby, you know a guest is hot, and he is as hot as they come.
Oh, yeah. He's got his fans. And I got to get a copy of his new book signed for my kid. You know, my kid...
That Mankind is good?
Yes.
Or Mick is good?
Mick Foley is good.
Mick Foley is good.
He never asked me for anything from the show. With the people we have on and the contacts we have, you know, not
right.
that... Yeah, listen, we're the lowest freaking rung of show business, but that's the one thing. It was, you know, Dad, please get Mick Foley to autograph his book for me. All right, well, where is he?
Well, he's upstairs, and
take a minute.
He should be coming right now. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, stranger.
Mick Foley right here.
Yeah.
Hey, right here. There he is.
Hey, you son of a bitch. It's great to see you again, Mick.
I'm not allowed to talk to you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for coming back.
Where's my headphones?
You need headphones, Rob. Poor Rob.
Robbie,
come on. Rob, I'm real sorry. Rob and I just said, Rob was going through a discussion about guests and headphones, and I said, do you think he'll want headphones? I said, I'm not sure. He said that. Well, you know.
Well, if he's going to take calls, he needs headphones. Phones.
Rob, I'm sorry about all that. You know, right. It's amazing.
I just heard, you know, there's a lot of fans obviously trying to cheat the system by hanging out outside here, thinking they don't have to wait in the line at the bookstore.
Are you doing a book signing tonight?
I mean, that's...
Now, okay. All right, that's why you're here with your promo. Yeah. I got you. Mick, I just mentioned that you know, when you know a guest is hot, when you have that little gathering, you have people waiting outside. So did you just kind of blow by them out there, or did you take time to sign the book?
No, I signed some things in here for the people and their kids, but I guess there's a little conglomerate of people to figure out, we don't have to go to Laurel, Maryland at 6 o'clock, where I'm signing copies of my book Foley is Good.
Where in Laurel? What's the store?
Books a Million. And they said, you look, we're going to kind of rush you out the back way, so hopefully those people aren't listening and now rushing the back way. They said, but we are going to have you meet someone who had a WWDMD, which stands for What Would Mike and...
Oh, the girl with a tattoo on her genitals?
This is not somebody I want to meet. Like, she gets special privileges because you got... I didn't even know it was on her genitals.
Like, yeah.
Scary enough to have it on her bicep or something. But
she lost a bet. She played a game, and she lost the game, and she said that she would actually have that tattooed... down by her vagina, and she did.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It just reminds, not that you guys aren't going to stay hot forever, but just a word of warning. As I ask Stephen Richards, a guy who's supposed to stand for, you know, the morals and all that in the WWF, he's got a Motley Crue tattoo on his shoulder. And I said, and it's like one of these, like, looks like a jailhouse tattoo.
Yeah, like carved in there with pen.
Exactly. Right. I said, hey, you ever regret getting that tattoo? And he looks at me and goes, every day of my life.
You know, that's what I say. I mean, you know, if my kids, when they get to that age, if they want to do the piercing thing, you can do a piercing and you can recover from it. But a tattoo, really, unless you do that elaborate laser stuff, is, you know, for life.
Well, listen, that girl's got us on her genitals, and I don't know if she's going to get to meet you or not because of it, but... before we talk about your book,
yes,
and all of your success, you know, we went through about a month ago a serious argument every day on this freaking show, me and Mike, about that documentary movie.
Right.
And now would you look him in the face?
Yeah.
Because I want to tell you,
well, I didn't put it to rest.
No, you did put it to rest.
No, no,
now, why are you digging it up again?
Yeah. Because it's fun.
But you're doing that.
But I remember I was extremely satisfied with the answer that he gave me back then. And, you know, I didn't argue with that. I actually thought it was a legitimate answer. You kind of, you didn't meet me halfway, but you kind of said it's a little of this and a little
of
that.
A little of this, a little of that, yeah.
I thought it was legit.
But when you had the chairs broken on you.
Right.
In that movie.
This damn movie is haunting me. I mean, I used to, you know what, I used to, World News Tonight did a very positive story, except for the fact that they talk about the last couple chapters. My book is like my doctoral thesis on why the WWF is nowhere near as bad as people like the Parents Television Council would lead us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says on World News Tonight, he goes, he even gives a reasoned and well-researched theory on why wrestling is actually no worse for children than Wizard of Oz and many other children's fairy tales. And then he says, he's not likely to change many minds, especially seeing as he let his wife and kids see him get hit with 11 chairs. And they cut to Beyond the Mat, my wife crying. It's like my wife has done a lot of great things in her life besides cry on camera. You know, it's haunting me.
You know, I got to tell you, I've got this screensaver up here. And yesterday when we were faking the accident with you in the car, totally unrelated, as he's walking down the hallway, I said, he's going to look at this and think that I'm mocking him.
Oh, no,
you
no.
Are because I've got the, I'm not. This was an unrelated,
unrelated
screensaver when we were faking an accident out in front of the building yesterday. Right. So don't feel dissed because you are a large man.
Your new book, which incidentally, your new book, number one bestseller, right?
Yeah, thank
number
you.
One.
Thank you.
You know what? That's so great. I think when we had you on the phone the week the book was being released.
Right.
The next week, we got whatever it is, the New York Times bestseller list. And what a goof. What a fantastic goof that all these people write serious books.
Right.
I mean, not that your book's not
right,
serious.
Right.
Look at me, but I mean,
yeah.
Come on, look at you. You got the number one selling book in America.
Well, it got knocked off this past Sunday, but it got knocked off by a Pulitzer Prize-winning author who supposedly wrote this tremendous book. And I look at it, like, realistically, it's the Father's Day season, so it's like Ghost Soldiers about the, you know, the famous prison raid on the Bataan, on the survivors of the Bataan Death March.
There you go.
And it's, you know, these tremendous books, you know, our founding brothers, all these really well-researched books, and there's me. Foley is good. The real world's figure, the rest of it. I'm thinking, all right. Now, granted, these things may be, in the scheme of things, more historically important, but they're not as much fun.
In your new book, I don't want to give away everything okay. good in your new book,
right.
but
that would
know,
take minutes.
I don't know a lot about wrestling.
Okay.
But in your new book, you keep writing about this guy named Al Snow. Like, whenever there's a big loser, whenever he wants to indicate that someone is a giant loser, loser, he yeah, writes about
calls him an Al Snow.
Al Snow.
Well, for example, I said that Vince McMahon's income is reported to have more zeros in it than a Snow family reunion.
Right.
That's a good line.
Is Al Snow, is that a real guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Al Snow is definitely a real guy.
And do you really have this low level of him, or are you just goofing?
Nah, he's really one of my best buddies. It's just that, you know, we had this kind of competition, you know, like the rank out contest.
Yeah.
And in the locker room, I'll be honest, you know, Al would, you know, we'd battle it out head and head because he's a pretty bright, you know, human. Humorous guy, but my career was doing a little better than his, so I was able to like use the internet to make jokes about Al. And then I started getting a lot of interview time on our show, and I was able to use that to make jokes about Al. And then it actually got kind of heated, where I was upset because he tried to fire back with his interview time. Vince McMahon hated it, like barred him from television. And so the book was actually the first book. This is not the first time I made fun of Al. It was my way of reaching out and kind of building that bridge through several hundred Al Snow references.
Okay, yeah.
That's interesting.
The Rock was just in the Mummy movie.
You
know,
yeah.
He's in the movie for five freaking
right, sure.
At the very end.
Glorified cameo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But, you know, he's a big reason the yes. movie did such yeah. a big opening weekend.
And I was in Big Money Hustlers.
Were you really?
What is that?
I'm not sure I'm familiar with
that. It was a straight-to-video movie. I call it How I Got My SAG Card.
Okay.
But you know what? I try real hard not to make my house like a look-at-me house. Oh, my, look at me, you know. And I get this package in the mail, FedEx and all that, and I'm like, what is this? I open it up. It's this big plaque commemorating like 100,000 video units of Big Money Hustlers with
you know,
insane clown posse. And I'm like, this is the last thing I want.
I'm not blowing smoke, but it would
it seemed to me that you would probably, the fact that you, you know, you do well in a forum like this,
right.
You do well on television, and that you would probably get a few offers thrown your way. I mean, I know I'd love to cast you as some heavy, you know, I could see you in regular feature films easily. Have you gotten offers to do stuff like that?
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, speaking of Al Snow, people liked our chemistry. I've gotten offers from two different people to do buddy pictures.
Without Al Snow.
Like the mega budget like The Rock did, because I wouldn't really want to do that anyway. But, you know, the lower budget where, that, you know, if it go even if it goes straight to video, you can still make some money. And I like my book is, I think it's a very good book for people who don't know anything about wrestling. I believe it's a very good book for them. But for the people inside that get the jokes, and just for me personally, even there's a couple jokes in there that only like four people in the world will get. And I even say, look, only four people in the world are going to understand this, but they're going to love me.
That's what it is.
You know, I want to be in an avenue. You know, in The Mummy Returns, you can't be making personal jokes just for the sake of four or five guys.
And The Mummy Returns. Now, in the wrestling movie that you're tired of talking about,
that.
When The Rock, you know, comes after you,
where after the match, I was kind of bandaged like a mummy. Yes.
And after that happened, and he comes up to you and he says, "Hey, man, I'm sorry," you know, and you said, "No, it was a great show." Were you really pissed at him? Were you pissed at him for a while?
You know what? It didn't. I didn't sink in for a while. I mean, I think it was after I watched the screen of the movie. I was like, he didn't look all that concerned about me.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
and that was, I mean, I talk in the book about how I held this grudge for a while against The Rock. And actually, it's a good thing I wrote a bonus chapter for the paperback version of Have a Nice Day, which the one was out a year and a half ago. That had to be heavily edited. Several Rock references were taken out there. Our people like, "Look, you just can't say that about The Rock." But I was like, I'm pissed. I hate his guts. And I finally realized, you know, look, if you're going to hold a grudge, you don't hold it against a guy who's making millions more than you. You know, you hold it. That's why this Al Snow thing works out so well.
I wish Al Snow was here right now.
It's a rewarding grudge that I hold. It's wonderful.
All right, let's take some calls from Mick. Here we go. You're on the air right now with Mick Foley, Mankind. Hello.
Hey. Don and Mike, Radio
Hi.
God.
Hi.
Hey, Mick, I just want to say my son and I, we love watching the WWF. It's not been the same since you quit actively wrestling, but we still love watching it. And my question is, who do you think is the hardest worker in the... You're no longer actively wrestling. Who's the hardest worker in the WWF right now?
Well, apparently you didn't catch the last couple years of my career when I wasn't the hardest worker anymore. You know, some of these guys, like, I don't think of any picnic to get in there with a guy like Benoit, you know? I mean, at least even when I was working...
Wasn't it like Benoit Balls?
Well, you know, the guy's been able to overcome that stigma, you know what I mean? You would have figured that's his real name. Never changed it. I mean, I guess he was man enough to live with that.
Wow.
And
Benoit.
You know, he doesn't take the comedy breaks like I did, you know? He's just serious all the time.
Benoit!
It's like, you know, fans like watching him. It's like a grudging respect type of thing. But no one says, "Hey, I really get a kick out of that Benoit."
No. I do know that, you know, I told you, I'm not into it, but my kid, my son,
yeah,
is 15 now. He's white, and his whole thing all along had been, when your first book came out, it's like, he would say, he's the only wrestler who really does everything.
Including writing my own books.
Yeah, they throw this guy off the top of cages. They throw this guy in the walls.
Look, can I say something? I thought I was over this whole Rock thing, you know? I mean, I really did. We talked it over. I had good feelings. I mean, I was happy for him when The Mummy Returns did such big business. He's getting multi-million-dollar offers. Apparently, the wound is not healed because somebody who works here brought his son in to meet me.
Yeah.
And he had both my books, you know, which is a pretty big fan, you know.
Nice.
And I signed the books. I said, "Are you enjoying them?" He goes, "Well, I haven't started them yet." I said, "Why not?" He goes, "Well, I'm still reading The Rock's book." And it was like,
I
thought it was over.
When's the last time you talked to The Rock? Are you on good terms with him now?
I am on good terms, but we don't talk on the phone.
Right.
We were tremendous tag team partners, but even then, we didn't have a non-wrestling...
You know what I wanted to ask you, seriously?
What?
Come you don't get your teeth fixed.
Oh, man, because my wife thinks I look sexy this way.
And we've seen your wife, and your wife is a turbo hottie. And if she says that, I guess...
Who else do I need to impress?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay, no, all right.
You know, I did wear my teeth. There's a story in the book, Foley's Good. It's available in bookstores everywhere.
Okay, come on. You're selling your book today. You're selling your book.
But there's a story there about when I became a bad guy in 1998. It's like, well, how the hell do you become a bad guy in this day and age? You know, if you tell the people they suck, they'll be like, yeah, we do suck. We, you know,
right.
You can't come down on the fence. So what I did is I tried to, like, take away everything that they liked about me. You know, I started speaking like a professor. I claimed I spoke six languages. And up until this day, people still believe, like, which language do you speak? You know, like, that was a wrestling interview. It's not exactly gospel. You
is
know?
There carte blanche? Can you really, I mean, in the world of wrestling, if it's an idea, I mean, the creative freedom, when I hear you talk about stuff like this, where you can just roll in there and, right. and kind of concoct something, and
sure.
if it flies, I mean, there's not a lot of people saying, hey, you better not go that way.
Well,
you can do whatever you want.
I'll admit, they were going to make fun of Kirby Puckett in Minnesota, and then when Vince found out that Kirby, I guess, was blind in one eye,
right.
he didn't think the blind humor would be really appropriate. And so they said something about how Kane, the wrestler supposedly been burned, how he was burned more times in his life than Kevin Garnett was in the playoffs, which is a much friendlier joke.
Okay, right? All right, so that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Lots of the guys have stuff like that written for them, though. I mean, are there joke writers?
You know, there are writers, and sometimes, you know, I'll use what they say. They kind of know, they just give me bullet points, what they want me to talk about. But they did have a thing like where Steven Regal came out, or still call him by his old name. William Regal came out and he said something about the word tomfoolery. And the writers know I like the really stupid comedy, you know what I mean? Like the innocent stuff.
Right.
So they know that I would like to mention the word tomfoolery over and over. And so I just went out and really hammed it up. And I said, you know, then I kind of made it my own by saying, I admit in front of all my fans that I have on many occasions been guilty of committing tomfoolery. Then I was, you know, worked the tomfoolery line. I said, as a matter of fact, my entire reign as commissioner was marked by rampant abuses of tomfoolery. And as we know, tomfoolery just begets more tomfoolery. What a fool I've been. And it's like how many shows are using the word tomfoolery?
You got some balls. I like that. That's akin to putting jokes in your book that only four people
right.
Same thing. What the hell? Okay, listen, I got two ways to go. I got commercials to play. If you could stay through one commercial set and just talk to people, people bitched the last two times you were on that we didn't let them talk to you.
There were naked people last time I was in.
Yes, there were. Mm-hmm. There no nudes.
I'm going to tell you one story, then we go to break. Okay. This is one of the, this just happened. I did the Bill Thompson show. You know that they kind of, you talk to him for 20 minutes, he puts into a 5-minute little package, and they syndicate it like around the country. It's a pretty big deal. And Bill Thompson has his daughter with him, 13, 14 years old, and he says, I hope you know that my daughter only comes in here for the biggest stars. And I said, or for who she considers to be the biggest stars. I said, well, who's that? He goes, Charlotte Church, you know, the singer with the beautiful voice.
Right.
Margaret Thatcher, Jimmy Carter, and you. And I went, whoa. And then he went, and the professor in Gilligan. It was like,
build you up, bring you right back down again.
All right, Mickey will be signing his new book tonight in Laurel. God, what an armpit Laurel is.
Is it really?
They couldn't have booked you in a better city than Maryland.
Hey, I enjoyed my time when I lived in the Willow Lake apartment.
Laurel, you're going to be at, what's the name of the store, Mickey?
Books-A-Million.
Books-A-Million. He'll be there in over an hour from now. We'll break right now and come back with your calls from Mick Foley after this.
Number one, Arbit Conway. The Don and Mike Show.
Country music sucks. All it does is take precious airspace away from shock DJs whose cruelty and profanity amuse us all.
Shut up, boy.
And now, with another segment designed to disgruntle Buzz Burbank, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, we're back. We'll take your calls from Mick Foley here. I'll give you the commercial that I just gave you off the air for your book. That, you know, my kid's crazy about Mick. And we have a rule in our house, especially now that Bart is old enough to drive and have a job, that he has to read for a half an hour a day before he can do anything fun.
Right.
Okay?
When he gets home?
No, in the morning.
In the morning.
Got to read first. And he's got this this habit of bringing down books like The Simpsons, the illustrated history of The Simpsons. So we're, my wife more than me are on his ass constantly, but no, you got to read a real book.
Right.
Well, when this book came out, he came down with this book one day. And Freddie said, oh, no, no, no. This is not a real book.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, Mom, this is a real book.
They told me.
They sat down and they read two chapters. And my wife, who everyone will tell you is the biggest ball buster on the planet, she gave your book the thumbs up. According to my wife, Frida, your book is a real book.
And he wrote it.
Oh,
yeah, I did. Yeah, I think that's what makes a difference, is that it, it does, despite my grammatical errors and technical flaws, it does come across as being a real book. And I'll tell you what the secret is that for the non-wrestling fans, they'll be surprised at the type of, you know, sensitivity and honesty I put into it. And for the real wrestling fans, just as I'm about to become too wimpy, I come roaring back with some good old-fashioned sophomoric humor.
It's a nice little balance, I think. And this book, as I read it, I got the feeling you wrote it yourself. Now, I don't know if you just talked into a
paper recorder. I do the, believe it or not, I do it with notebooks and pens. And a lot of the book was written on airplanes and in dressing rooms and hotels. And then I finished off my doctoral thesis on a folding table, just like the wrestlers put each other through. So I was kind of proud of it.
I do. You are unique. That is true.
I definitely got the feeling that this was not something that was given to somebody. They said,
right,
let's punch this up a little bit. You know, no pun intended.
Do you get surprised by the people that you would not think are wrestling fans that because of your style and what you brought to the wrestling that approach you and say they're fans? I mean, who's really knocked your socks off? As far as
let me see. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but what the hell? You know, I had said that. That in my book, I'd said that the first book I was going to keep, the second book would go to my mom, and the third book I was going to deliver to Senator Joseph Lieberman, because Lieberman has aligned himself with his Brent Bozell, the parents' television counselor.
Right. He's right. A prick. We hate Lieberman.
Oh, you do?
That's the reason. Listen, I'm a lifelong...
Well, that's right. He hates the stuff, you guys.
I'm a lifelong Democrat. I switched to the Republicans because I was afraid that Lieberman was going to be one bullet away from making this country, you know, his vision.
Okay, would not include people like you.
Yes, correct.
So I called the senator's office to let them know that I would like to deliver this book. And I said, hello. I said, this might sound a little strange. I said, but my name is Mick Foley. I'm a WWF wrestler, and I wrote a book. And the guy says, I know who you are, Mr. Foley. And I said, is that a good thing? And he goes, I don't tell many people this, but yeah, I'm a big fan. Here's another story about the Parents Television Council. Is I call up because I could not for the life of me, I'm right in the middle of writing my thesis, and I hear about how our show is the filthiest, most obscene, most vulgar show on television by their statistics. Now, one thing I know about statistics, you don't accept any statistics that aren't drawn up by a disinterested third party.
Yes, anything can be manipulated anyway.
Exactly.
Correct.
So I call up and I said, hello. And this is like a game of chain command tag where they keep passing me off to this guy. Of course, Bozell won't, you know, I can't get an interview with him. I got the phone records to show I called at least a dozen times. But I had thought, because the guy who did the Indiana University study that was so widely quoted, and by the professor's own admission, simulated drug use turned out to be beer drinking, and simulated sexual activity turned out to be a girl rubbing a guy's arm. You know, I had a feeling that this, right, you know, scientifically documented Parents Television Council was not all it was cracked up to be. So I finally got the name of the guy that it was supposed to be, a guy named Tom Johnson. He should stand up and take the heat. And so I called up. I said, yeah, my name is Mick Foley. I'm writing a book on professional wrestling, and I'd like to include a chapter about the PTC. And I was just wondering if you'd tell me what constitutes, you know, sex, foul language and violence in your study. He goes, just a second, I'll be right back. He comes back and he goes, okay, what'd you say your name was? I said, Mick Foley. He goes, the Mick Foley? And I said, well, I'm a Mick Foley. He goes, I mean, Mankind? Are you Mankind? I said, oh, yeah, I used to be. He goes, oh, wow. Hold on. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, wow. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I've been around long enough. I can't prove this guy was a wrestling fan. But in my expert opinion, he sounded like a wrestling fan. And then
right,
he gets back on the air and he goes, we're not allowed to talk to the WWF. Click. And I said to my wife, I said, I think that guy just hung up on me. I said, but I'm going to make sure.
Right.
I call back up.
Call back.
It's Tom, it's Mick. I think we have bad connection. Click. And I said, I'm sure.
There you go. Oh, my God.
You know, and then
good for you.
What it turns out, you know, and then I found that after the book comes out, they have a study, and they list things, and it's like, it looks so ridiculous in print where I actually read Raven or Al Snow hit Raven with a vase and a milk pitcher. And I'm thinking, this is violence? You know, is this like an outbreak in school? Do they have guys showing up with milk pitchers at school and hitting each over the head? And then foul language might be, for example, they count any sign that has foul language on it. You know, you've seen the show.
Sure.
They go to a long shot and they scan across. You might see 1,000 signs during the course of a show. So if you have these guys who make their entire living and campaign based on our show, you don't mean to tell me they're not freeze-framing it. Okay, well, there's balls, there's this. You know, it's ridiculous.
Right. That's why Lieberman flipped me out.
Didn't he? Yes.
I mean,
I voted for him, though. I have to say that because I ignored that part of the whole ticket.
It drove me nuts. It was strictly a selfish move. I said Lieberman just
so you remember, there are plenty of guys on the other side that are doing the same thing.
Well, yeah.
Beware.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it crosses party lines.
But Lieberman's the poster.
Yeah, he is.
And I can't, you know,
but
I can't.
The thing about
that.
Lieberman, and now I'll disagree with you, because at least I think he believes in what he talks about. I mean, I don't believe in what he believes, but at least he's honest about it, I feel. But the thing is, the guy's interviewed by the Chicago Sun-Times last year, and they ask him about the WWF, and he says, I can't do the Lieberman voice. I mean, very few of us can.
I'll
just play it straight. Yeah. Somebody said it's like he sounds like a nice guy, but he's got to go to the bathroom.
Kind of sounded like Willie Tanner from Al.
Well, that's what
do you? We're really happy about that. Yes, I'll work on it.
Yeah, you know, okay.
Hey, he lost.
What
I don't
he
have
said,
to work
maybe
on.
You can transcribe this into Lieberman-esque or Liebermanese, but he said, well, there's a situation where what they're watching is presumably faux and artificial, but I don't think kids can distinguish that. I'm like, I'm not sure what he said, but I think he just said people think wrestling is real.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so in the book, I said, well, I'm sure some do, but they're pretty much on a par with the type of kids who think that Dr. Evil is really trying to take over the world.
That's a good point.
And then they ask him, well, you know, what do you know? And he says, well, I don't really have time to watch. I scan the channels. I read reports on content. And I said, oh, all right. So he doesn't watch a show. He reads reports on content.
Those same people you're talking about, this scan and freeze frame, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I said, well, let me give you a report on the content of, say, Hansel and Gretel, which is essentially a story about child abuse, mm-hmm. child abandonment, destruction of property, kidnapping, imprisonment, attempted cannibalism, and murder by boiling. It's like our show looks like Barney the Dinosaur compared to these people.
All right, let's get these people waiting to talk.
So I didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
No. We love that.
I love it.
F. Lieberman. I really, that guy, never mind.
Hello.
Don and Mike, you are, sorry, Mike.
Yeah.
I know you're a big Democrat.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on with Mick Foley.
I am.
Senator Lieberman.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Mick.
Yes.
You're my hero. I know you hear that probably like every day, but you are, and you're why I want to become a pro wrestler.
No, but then I've failed.
But no.
You're
supposed to look at me and say, all right, he's the guy's a loser. He doesn't look good in a bathing suit, and he still gets paid a lot, you know, relatively amount of money, good amount of money, and people cheer him. You're not supposed to say, I want to be like him.
I'm trying to get to your book signing today.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll be able to make it, though, because I got to wait for my parents to get home.
All right, what do you weigh? How old are you?
I'm 16.
And how much do you weigh?
I weigh about 145 right now.
Okay, you're not going to be like me, because I was already pushing 200 at 16.
Oh,
right. I know that. I know.
Heard it. Forget it, kid. You have both your ears, young man.
Forget it. Go get a job at Blockbuster.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, you're on with Mick Foley.
Hey, Mick, how's it going? I don't care what anybody says, man. I'm your biggest fan. I was in Richmond Monday night, and you put on a great show down there.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Hey, I do apologize if this question has already been answered, but I was messing around with my phone when you guys were talking about it. I kept getting disconnected.
What?
When I was reading your book, the PTC.
Right.
Is Right to Censor a takeoff of that?
Yeah, I think so. Not a very effective group, but yeah, I think that was a takeoff on the PTC.
Okay. Yeah, to be honest with you, I kind of earned a little bit of respect for Right to Censor after reading it.
Why is that?
Because I really honestly don't know. I just...
Wait, you gained respect for Right to Censor?
We have some real douchebags that call us. Let's just move past it.
Well, yeah. I want to know. He's saying he thinks that those guys are right. Like,
reading it.
He's already gone. I hung up on him.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. He says I'm his hero, but he disagrees with everything I say.
Right.
Censorship.
Welcome to our show.
Man, it's always an adventure.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Mike. Mick Foley. How you doing?
How are you?
Hey, all right. Listen,
how are you doing?
How you doing? Hey, I'm a big fan of my girlfriend's up in Canada. She's a big fan, Sarah and her son, Braden. And I was wondering if you could say hey. And also,
hey,
could you use some more Tony Gurria?
Can I do some more? Could I use some more?
We need more Tony Gurria on Raw.
What is that?
Now, bring us up to speed on Tony Gurria.
Tony Gurria is an old-time New Zealand wrestler. As a matter of fact, I just brought up his name last night. He was talking to one of the younger wrestlers, no doubt counseling on him on how the drop kick used to be a finish.
Oh, him and Dean Ho were awesome. But you, my man, are the king. And I just wanted to say hey to Sarah and Braden up in Canada. And
Nick. Hey, enough of the biography, please.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, you're on with Mick Foley.
Hello, Don and Mike and Mick.
How are you doing?
My son's a real big fan, and I've got to be honest with you, I'd never really followed wrestling much.
Okay.
And when he said that he liked Mankind, I thought he was looking to be a great humanitarian one day.
Okay.
But I wanted to find out, I can't get out to Laurel to the book signing. I live all the way in Woodstock. And my son is way down there, Tennessee.
Oh, man.
I get to see him a few times a year, and I absolutely have to have your book for him.
I'm sure there's a bookstore in Tennessee, buddy.
Yeah, go to a bookstore in Tennessee.
Oh, man, you wouldn't believe this place. It is so rural. They don't even have...
Go to Amazon.com.
Amazon.com will have the book.
Oh, what I wanted to get was mixed
autograph.
Right.
It's all about you, isn't it, sir?
Do you have a good relationship?
I have to go to school.
Do you have a good relationship with your son, an honest one?
Yes.
Write my name and say it's from me. A lot of loops in my name. The M is a big loop. The F is a big loop. And a Y. And then you put a happy face in the Y. And that's me.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hello, you're on with Mick Foley.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing?
Hey, Mick Foley. I love wrestling, and you're probably my favorite wrestler. But I wanted to ask you about two things.
Okay.
On the other night, I was watching this really obscure channel, and they just... came on with this weird wrestling show called Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Right.
And it must have been about 10 years old. It had Cactus Jack against Terry Gordy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would have been from the Dallas Sportatorium.
Well, how long ago was that?
That was 1991.
That's a pretty good match, too.
Sounds like a made-up place.
Welcome to the Sportatorium.
There we are, fans.
Absolutely. Cactus Jack.
I used to sit back in the Sportatorium. You could see the rats running around the teams. It was wonderful.
They didn't even advertise it. It's just like, and... you tuned in to see something else, but here's wrestling. And...
When they have these old wrestling matches in the can... It's very cheap programming, especially for these guys who own hundreds of hours of it. And a lot of the guys have been through... God, I'm killing your show, aren't I?
No. Come on.
Sorry. A lot of guys who've been to Dallas, a lot of guys have been through the infamous Sportatorium, so I guess it makes for decent late-night viewing.
All the Lumberjacks have brought their axes to the Sportatorium for the fabulous Choptacular this evening. I'm Brad Sham. Brad Sham? Check out my big league threads.
Hello, Don and Mike show. You're on with Mick Foley.
Hi, Don, Mike, and Mick.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, Mick, thank you for being right here on WJFK.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
I'm giving the thumbs up.
Oh, okay. Hey, can I tell you a quick story about the Sportatorium?
Sure.
I love the Sportatorium. One night I won the tag team title belt, and as a joke, you know, I was wearing the title after my car. And a guy I knew was getting beaten up in the parking lot. So I came to help him out, and a big brawl broke out, and the other wrestlers looked through the window up there. They go back, and they go, Cactus Jack is fighting in the parking lot. He's wearing his championship belt. So, rumor got around that I wore that bad boy everywhere. Okay, go ahead with your story.
Oh, no, I hung up on him.
Yeah.
At the Sportatorium.
The Sportatorium, Brad Sham.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
This is the Don and Mick show?
Yes.
Hey, guys. What do you really think about Stephanie McMahon? How hot is she?
I think Stephanie's beautiful, personally.
Is that his wife or
his
daughter?
That's Vince's daughter. She's
a babe.
Yeah, she's really, I think she's gorgeous. And she's deep down, once you get past the Vince part of her, she's a wonderful person, too.
All right. A couple more calls, and Mick's got to go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mick, I would like to know what's the biggest thing that ever happened to you in wrestling? What was more exciting, being tag team partners with The Rock or your fire chair matches with Terry Funk? And, oh, by the way, have a nice day.
You know, those fire matches, they led me into some trouble in a court of law last year. So I spent 6 days defending myself. Some fan starts whining and moaning. He got second-degree burns at a match I was in. You know, burns. And somehow we got out of it. You know what I mean? I didn't have to pay anything.
Big baby.
Can I tell you, want to hear, can I tell you a story about
it? Sure.
Yeah, go. The idea is, this will take a couple minutes to tell the story, but it's got a good payoff to it.
Okay,
and
all right.
Keep in mind, there's one lie. When I tell this story, there's one lie. But the way I told the story goes something like this. I'm in the ring, and the idea is I'm anti-hardcore. You know what I mean? So
right.
I was beating the crap out of this guy, Tommy Dreamer, like legit. You know, here's the storyline. I'm supposed to be trying to bust his eye open the old-fashioned way, and I kind of like punching down over the eyebrow like the old-timers do it. People thought I was like a veteran, that I was the expert because I'd had it done to me a lot.
Right.
But I'd never done it to anybody. So I'm trying to bust Tommy Dreamer open. I'm hitting him in the nose, in the cheek, in the forehead, and he's got tears in his eyes. He finally looks up at me and goes, "Would you please stop punching me?" So I finally wind up with a big punch. I throw a big fake punch, and then all of a sudden I start going, "Oh, my hand," and I claimed I couldn't wrestle. I was too badly injured. So when that happens, Terry Funk comes down. And the referee tells me there's no such thing as a count out in wrestling. The bad guy referee comes down. He goes, "Not only is it in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission rule book, but it is Cactus Jack's constitutional right to be counted out if he so demands." So now Terry Funk comes down, and he knocks out the referee. And I'm sorry, I've retreated to the dressing room. Now he's trying to draw me out by appealing to my pride. So he says, "Cactus Jack, your mother is a whore." And I don't show up. And he says, "Your wife is a whore." And I'm still back there. And he goes, "Your children are both whores."
Oh, no.
I'm still not back there. And then he says, "And Eric Bischoff is the head of WCW, which all the ECW fans hate. He goes, "And Bischoff is a homo." And all of a sudden I came racing through the curtain like, "You son of a bat." And we went at it. And so I'm in the court of law, and this guy is, and this is what leads up to the fan getting burned.
Right, right.
And so he starts reading my quotes and all this, and he goes, "Now, Mr. Foley, is this the truth, the honest truth, and nothing but the truth? So I hope you got it." I said, "Well, listen, the event took place 5 years ago. I recall it the best I can, and I use creative license to create all the quotes." He goes, "Creative license?" Like, he starts making those little finger quotations, like Dr. Evil did, you know. Oh, and every question he says is followed by, "Is that the truth, or are you using creative license here?" And so he finally starts reading this whole thing about the story I just told you, and he gets right in my face, and he goes, "Now, is this the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, or are you using creative license once again?" And I said, "Well, there's one part of the story that's not true." And he jumps on me like he's got me, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he does the one thing that I learned in that movie with John Travolta as the lawyer, that you're not...
Civil action. Where Robert Duvall says, never ask why if you don't know what the answer's going to be.
That's right. So he says, "What part of the story isn't true?" And I'm thinking to myself, this guy just lobbed a softball in front of me, and I'm going to hit it out of the park. And I said, "Well, Your Honor, Terry really never did call Eric Bischoff a homo." and even the judge pops on it. At that point, I mean, one of the jurors asked after we won, he's like, did you set that up? I was like, "No, the guy just went for it, you know? He thought he had me on the ropes." But listen, maybe I got to take off on that note.
All right, I think, they got to get you out of here.
I get out of here. Where am I headed to, anyway?
boy.
Laurel, Maryland.
Oh, Laurel, Maryland.
Beautiful Laurel,
Maryland.
What are
you doing there?
And the name of the bookstore is?
Books-A-Million.
Books-A-Million.
Hey, guys, thanks-A-Million.
Mick,
thank
you. We'll be signing his number one selling book. Mick Foley is good.
Great guy. And he is good. He's always a good guest. Yeah. Always a great guest.
Hey, look at this.
Next time I come in, I want nude women, though.
Yeah,
okay? We'll arrange
it. Moron out of our window out here.
There he is.
All right, guys.
Have a great day.
Hey, all right,
thank you, Mick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Always great seeing you.
Good luck with the book signing.
Take care, buddy.
Get out of here.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
Thanks for staying longer than you were supposed to. See you, Mick.
Mick Foley, Mankind, Cactus Bye-bye. Jack, all those other names.
Great.
Good luck.
Guy.
And good luck with the book.
Yes. Everybody should know he stayed an extra 20 minutes today.
Yeah. Good job.
He's never going to be in the hall by 6.
That's all right. They'll wait for him. Believe me, they're waiting in our lobby.
They'll wait. Count on seeing him sometime around 8 tonight. He simply is the greatest.
That's a good interview.
Absolutely. Yeah. Beyond good.
Yes.
Guy always comes with great stuff. Good story.
What's great is that, you know, it appeals to wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans. It's fun to hear him. You always think that it's difficult to decipher, you know, when he's talking about all his wrestling stuff, you know, that you just picture a big game. It's one big game.
It was for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, I could relate to if you've seen that movie, A Civil Action.
Oh, I remember that, that moment.
And Robert Duvall says to his class, and never, no matter what you do, ask a witness. Why? Unless you absolutely know what their answer is.
And didn't Robert Duvall do it?
Yeah.
Later in the movie.
No. Well, he tricked John Travolta into doing it.
Right.
Later in the movie, and that's where John Travolta has started to lose the case.
That's it.
Well, there he is, the great Mick Foley.
Yeah.
He'll be in Laurel, Maryland tonight at, Books-A-Million?
Books-A-Million in Laurel.
Books-A-Million. Go out and see him, and don't stock him in our lobby, please.
I think they're maybe sending him out of the back door.
Back door.
But I believe the fans have the building surrounded.
Gotcha.
The fans.
The money fans. They do. Well, thank you, Mick Foley. Always great to see him. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see.
I hate when people talk during the movie.
With over 6 million listeners, The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks again to Mick Foley.
Yeah, good guy.
Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be giving away a free trip to New Jersey from anywhere in America.
New Jersey and you, perfect together.
The WWF King of the Ring on June 24th, courtesy of WWF Comcast and Cox Cable. We will play a Father's Day game on tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
Friday. Oh, and we're in New York tomorrow, which means most likely Peter Johnson will be on the show tomorrow.
Yay. Of course, we couldn't go to New York without saying hello to our old friend.
Go, Bob, on my knob.
I'm bringing the book.
Okay, we'll save it for tomorrow.
I will.
Tomorrow, Pete Johnson on the show.
Ass munch.
Oh, and listen, you know, I'm bringing my family up with me to New York this time.
Yes.
And Frida, very dangerous, meeting with a real estate broker tomorrow. I said late in the show yesterday that we're getting a place in New York.
And you couldn't be more thrilled.
I am absolutely thrilled because, well, with things that are happening, Mike and I are going to be spending more time in New York. And frankly, Frida wants a place in New York. So we're going to be spending time. She's going to be spending time with a real estate person.
Yes, you will be spending lots of time in New York, but why do I think your wife will be spending more time than either one of us in New York?
I think you're right. Also, Friday, I want to just point this out. We have a mystery guest.
All right.
Also on Friday, Donny Osmond. Also on Friday, Snapper Jones from the NBA Finals. And the brand new low budget Jeopardy. All of that live from WNEW in New York on Friday. And now it's time for. Hey, listen to that.
The new one. Recarded it.
Got a brand new clean version. Where is your intro? Oh, hold on. Here it is.
I got it.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
What's that big sound, Charlie?
Chuck Stossel on movies. Charlie, of course, had the theater opening earlier this week.
Yeah.
Giant success, showing all the movies.
Yes, Rob and Lisa, and my new best friend, Tom Gavin.
Tom Gavin showed up for you
to
the new 22 theater?
Not only showed up, but would not leave the group At all. He wanted to go into each auditorium and do, you know, Rob and Lisa went in and made little introductions, thanks for coming. And Tom insisted on going everywhere.
Which movie did the biggest gate? Because there were a lot of good movies that we had.
Yeah, Goodfellas. Goodfellas had the most people in it.
Goodfellas had the most
people. Pulp Fiction.
There you go,
you know,
TV.
I was surprised with, I thought Casino and Batman would not have a lot, but they had decent crowds in. So
what you're saying is Goodfellas, my selection, did better than any other theater?
Yes, like your selection.
There you go.
Yeah, right, Goldberg. Golden Boy.
And always Golden Boy.
I just wanted to double check.
Okay, so you're
the Golden Boy.
Shine again. Well, you know, that was just the luck of the draw. You know, which one of us would get whichever movie.
Oh, really?
I think quite a few of us had Goodfellas on our
list. You and I didn't handpick those movies and call over to the theater and say, get us a copy?
No, we did not.
Oh, yes, okay. Of course you did. Yes. Come on. That's exactly what you did.
No, we did.
That's exactly what you did.
So Chuck is...
And I should say, there was this guy who walked in to the theater that night. Started to hit on Lisa. Okay. Older guy, may have been 50. You know in The Godfather? The Godfather, there was the action. I can't remember his name, but he's the one who sat at the bar. I think it was in Godfather 2 and said, the C note, this is an insult. And they come up from behind him and say, this is from Michael Corleone, and start choking him.
Oh, yeah.
Drag him into the closet.
Sure.
That guy could have been his twin brother.
Really?
Who comes in and starts, hey, you're a very pretty girl. What does he do last night at our kind of black tie opening?
Right.
It's on my girlfriend.
Oh, really?
With the exact same
Are you
line.
Talking about the old guy? The old guy.
Guy.
Hey, come
yeah,
on.
That guy.
That wants the guy to play a tarantella,
that
old
guy. Yeah.
Oh, really? He was that old, huh?
Yeah, could have been right. His twin brother.
So he was hitting on Lisa.
And then
the night when you were showing our movies. Son,
night, he was hitting on my girlfriend.
Are
you still with the same girl?
Absolutely.
Good for you, Chuck.
Way to go, this is pretty serious.
Oh, good.
A committed relationship.
The M words come up.
Ooh, really?
Whoa! Yeah.
Is mommy?
Mamo.
So have you brought it up or has she brought it up?
We both actually brought it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, you're moving fast. Yeah. It's about time.
Well, if you do it,
it's almost a year.
Do it on this show. Wow. The offer stands.
I don't want to bring up a negative here, but I think with your history, it might be a real good idea before you do finally pop the question.
Yeah.
See if you can bring her over to Don and Frida's house so that she can go skinny dipping just one time.
Oh, yeah, just so you know, she's not a lesbian like your other wife.
Just so you can make
thanks
double
for bringing up that. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
And once again, seriously, and I said this to Mike when he got married.
Right.
If you get married on the show, we will pay for your honeymoon.
My room, my food,
your room, your meals. Calmed.
Don offered that
no
to
charge.
Me. Don offered that to me, and he offers it to you. He is sincere. He
you know, I am.
That.
You know, she's probably listening right now and just giddy. Giddy at the thought of that.
Think about it.
All right, we'll think about it.
Think about it.
We'll think about it.
Anywhere in the contiguous United States.
Right.
All of a sudden now.
The traditional Niagara Falls honeymoon?
Or the Poconos.
Rob, did you go to Niagara Falls?
You know, we went to Dollywood.
That's right. Because contiguous means everywhere except the good places. Everywhere
Hawaii.
Except Alaska and Hawaii. Right.
I think we should go a step further. Any land-bound destination in
so
the contiguous
I
United States.
I could go to North Dakota if I wanted. Any landlocked state. It may not touch water.
Well, if you want to get married on the show, you can do it. And we would be glad to, you know, to give you a free trip down. Charlie, I know the John Travolta movie opened last weekend, did big business. I'm glad to see Pearl Harbor is, you know,
drop off.
Starting to tank. The Animal's doing so-so business.
Right. It's doing what it is expected to do.
What is new this weekend?
We're going to talk about one movie.
Only one opening?
There are two, but Atlantis, because of the opening, and I just haven't seen Atlantis yet, so we won't worry about the Disney movie.
Atlantis is the animated.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I would say something about Atlantis, man. I really have to back off my Michael J. Fox jokes, because I saw him interviewed on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's looking sad now.
That's a shame.
I mean, they were talking to him about how, in a roundabout way, they were saying, are you strictly going to do cartoon voice roles now?
Because of his condition.
Because you shake so bad.
Right.
And as he was sitting there, his arms are going like this, and his head's going like this, and his hair is flopping around.
You know what I don't know about him? I know that he is on medication,
he
and
on
he
medication.
Can be on
he
medication.
He not to be because he wants people to see what it really is,
yeah,
thought.
He wants to be a spokesperson for it. So he goes without. He could, when he was doing that show Spin City, apparently he was medicated the whole time, because otherwise you would have seen that.
Well,
so he chooses to do that.
Well, then let the joke stay.
Oh,
he's coming back on Spin City next season for a couple of appearances, so apparently he can still control it with the medication.
There you go.
Well, then let the joke. Never mind.
There you go.
Forget what I said. Never mind.
Disregard that sensitive moment.
Put him in at third base, coach for the Yankees. Take off all the signs.
Oh,
all right, what's the movie that's not a cartoon?
Tomb Raider.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I think this looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Charlie?
Hey?
Have you seen it?
Really?
Yeah.
And?
It couldn't suck more.
Okay. Oh, I'm so disappointed.
All right, well, Angelina Jolie is Laura or Lara
right.
Croft.
Lara Croft.
Mm.
From the video games.
Exactly. In a plot almost as confusing as the first Mission Impossible movie, she goes on this quest to find, led by the all-seeing eye, the triangle, like the Mason's eye,
mm-hmm.
the triangle with the eye in
like
the middle.
Like on the dollar bill, right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this will lead to a series of events with the planets aligning where all sorts of wacky things are going to start happening. Now, in this, she is visited by her father.
I love it when you use the word wacky.
Her father, Mr. John Voight.
Her real dad.
Who is her father in the movie.
Okay.
And he's kind of the spiritual guidance for her along the way. Let's see, where do we begin with this?
Well, you hated it.
Don't give us the TPS.
No. I'm trying to think what you don't do in an action movie. You don't give me slow motion. When things are blowing up and exploding, don't have somebody running in slow motion with things
Wait,
exploding.
Let me stop you there.
One
I know
movie
you're
did
getting
it well.
Married.
No,
Excuse
one movie
me.
Did it well.
Hold it. Stop. I have a question.
Yes.
Was Angelina Jolie running in slow motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, may I alert you to a movie called Ten with Bo Derek running in slow motion
that was on
along
the beach.
Yes.
That was an action movie.
Look at her jug.
Action movie.
Isn't that also a standard cliche of action movies that you see?
You never see an Indiana Jones movie do that. That is the
he doesn't jiggle as well.
You see
yeah,
the giant.
Thank you, Buzz.
Thank you, Buzz Burbank.
You see the giant explosion, and then you see them running out with it behind them.
And of course, then when she jumps, you don't get the. You get it in real time, so she's in slow motion. And then
But you see Angelina Jolie running.
Yeah,
in slow motion.
And for you can see her in a shower.
Really, do you?
What about
for you? What is
only
this new marriage turned you gay?
Actually,
I mean, what are you doing here?
I was with Stephanie during this movie.
Oh, okay.
So if that
maybe that's going to skew it a little.
Now, this is a PG movie, right?
A PG-13.
So you don't see her nipples.
No, it's just from behind.
What is the silhouette? What do you see her ass?
No, you see her actual back from the maybe like mid back up in the shower.
Oh, God, if you'd like to see her nipples, let me alert you to a movie called Gia. You know that is.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Or is it Gia? I forgot.
Well, why don't I just read about her that she was so depressed. You know, she's so effed up anyway.
She's definitely a head case.
She's married to Billy Bob, that she wanted to kill herself, but she didn't really want to kill herself. She didn't have the guts to kill herself.
Right.
So she hired a hitman.
No, true.
I just read this. She hired a hitman to kill her.
Yeah.
The hitman didn't want to kill her, so the hitman agreed to the contract, but said, I'm going to give you 30 days to think about it.
Right.
And at the end of 30 days, the hitman came back and said, have you thought about it? I'm ready to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, you know what? I changed my mind.
She is such a head case. I don't doubt any of that is true.
Yeah.
But I think she's a great choice to play
Lara
Croft.
She, Don, she is stick thin with these breasts that are just...
Have you seen the video game?
She resembles the video game.
I'm sorry. What is wrong with you?
She's thin with large
She's
breasts.
She's thin with large
no,
breasts.
No,
problem?
No, no. There's too thin. She looks like a Barbie. Literally. No,
and that's a problem?
Oh, the ideal woman. What, a 50-inch chest and a 9-inch waist?
That's
okay. All right, I've heard enough. Fine.
What happened to you?
She does not fit the... Shrek's a great movie.
Oh, God.
She doesn't
Shrek
fit.
Was not a great movie.
Shrek
I went
a
to
great
see
Shrek.
You told me that you loved Shrek.
I didn't love Shrek as much as I wanted to love Shrek. It was not as good as I thought it would be.
Shrek was great.
Stop that.
Tomb Raider. Well,
Tomb Raider. It's very confusing.
Skinny with a big.
She
boom.
Doesn't fit.
They shower running in slow motion.
Why the F do you always?
because
you say something like you're
that.
Saying today.
No. I'm not.
Listen to what you're saying.
One of the reasons I think a lot of guys want to go see this movie is because of the sex appeal of Angelina Jolie. As much as she's a head case, as much as she has the tattoos.
She does look like Lara Croft. And listen,
that's what you want, then you will love this movie. I would like to go to a movie where I can follow the plot.
That's the
I
only
can enjoy it. I can get into it. Please.
Who cares? It is a movie based on a video game.
You know, I don't want to sit in a movie theater for 2 hours, 2 hours and 10 minutes, bored out of my mind.
That's the only Nintendo game that I ever could have pleasured myself to. Not that I have.
Mario Brothers?
Not that I have, but that's the only Nintendo game that I could ever get my jerk on.
Well, if you're at the point in life that you need to whack off to a Tomb Raider video game.
I'm not saying I did, but I could.
You can find stimulation in many different areas.
And you might.
No, he is absolutely. Tomb Raider was a video game where
you
looked at that and you went, hey.
She's sexy.
You know, that animated hot look, which
I'm not saying that she's not a gorgeous girl.
Does she look hot in the movie?
She looks attractive in the movie, but.
Does she look hot?
Not, yes.
Hot.
Yes.
Say it.
She looks hot.
Say it like you mean it, though.
I'd have her. There, okay?
All right.
But for an action movie chick.
Yeah, she's no Harrison Ford.
All right. How many porcelain dolls do you give this?
Charlie, how many?
I'll give it a 1.5.
One and a half.
That's a real.
If you like the Moomy, yeah. You will love this. It's on the same level.
Now that we have your review, how much business do you think? Because this I do respect.
This will open to $40 million.
You do know how much your movie is going
to
make.
This is going to be a huge hit. Absolutely, it's going to be a huge hit.
All right, let's go to your fans. We're waiting to talk to you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Charlie, did you just have your fingers crossed when you said she was really hot? Or are you just?
I think she is an attractive woman, and I think she's very attractive. But it just she doesn't make it as an action movie.
Okay, well I've got one.
And her lips are huge. Well, oh dear.
You know I do have an issue with her lips.
Yeah,
they look artificial.
Really?
Yeah, I mean they really do look good. Like she's got a collagen problem.
DSL, Mike.
What? She does have the DSL. This guy says she's got the DSL. She does.
I'm the number one Angelina Jolie fan. I've watched that movie, Gia.
Girl Interrupted?
Yeah. Girl Interrupted, okay, but Gia is...
Hello.
I never go by her.
She's sexy in that stupid Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I just don't think Charlie has to worry about his wife turning gay. I think Charlie just turned gay.
All right.
What a clever observation.
Everyone is really going to piss Charlie off today now.
No, they're not.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I want to ask Charlie a couple things.
Yeah.
Name two countries where the movie was, besides U.S.
What?
Name another country where the movie was.
What movie?
What movie?
What are you talking about? Express
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider? Yes.
You mean, is the movie based in more than one country?
Yes, Don.
Yeah, I think she does hop around a little bit. Maybe Egypt.
No, it was Cambodia in Africa, and it was Italy in Europe. Can I ask you another thing?
Yeah, sure. Why does that matter? What is the point, sir?
I just want to give him a hard time because she's not paying attention. She lost the plot in the movie.
She loves what?
She lost the plot with the movie.
I don't think you can bust balls if you get a better grasp of the language.
No, I think he's calling you a she.
But give me a shot.
Give you a shot?
Yeah, let me ask you another thing.
All right, what?
Please.
Throughout the movie, there were a few signs. It was about a flower.
I loved you in The Flying Nun. Alejandro Rey, calling.
All right, come on, hurry.
I don't watch it to the detail that you do. I don't recognize a street sign in the middle of a city.
All right, let me just ask you.
About your father. You mentioned your father. Do you know his profession?
Her father? He did the same. He was an explorer as well.
And
he started searching for thing that would align the planet.
Hey, listen, did you like...
You really hold my phone with this thing for
you.
You on the phone there.
Tired.
Jose, whatever your name is, did you like the movie?
It was the best movie in the last 3 months.
A foreigner's opinion.
Charlie. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got to complain about this damn movie. I mean, they should have never used her to impersonate Lara Croft.
Why?
They should have used the original girl that was modeled after Lara Croft, which is actually the girl from England. I mean, she's identical to the
girl from England. What girl?
What girl?
I forget what her name is.
Oh, right.
Get out of here.
But she's the girl for me.
Next
Hello.
Case.
Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Great, thanks.
Hey, listen, I actually heard that they had to put the movie, they did a special screening to see kind of what the audience would think, and they'd had to throw it into re-editing. They didn't think they were going to put it out in time, actually.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. One more call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes.
I think we all looked
picture
up.
Picture on the website, donandmikefans.com.
I'm sorry?
Is that your picture from the movie night? Is that you with the bald head and a shirt and tie?
That probably is me. I haven't looked on the site, but...
You've got some bad teeth, dude.
Well, thank you, dude. Wow.
All right, listen, that's below the belt. Charlie, before you leave...
Yes, Don.
I know you probably have an ad-lib comment for
Don,
us.
Don, every week I do. As you know, my movie report is brought to you by Coco Loco. Coco Loco is your pre-concert friendly restaurant. Happy hours 4 to 7 p.m. with live music and free food. For more information, log on to CocoLocoDC.com or call 202-289-2626. As usual, I love coming in here.
You know what? Now, listen. You're great,
Charlie. We love you. You're highly entertaining.
I'm going to give you a compliment. At least now you are coming in and telling us, whether you're right or wrong, you're telling us if you like the movies or not.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
That's great. I mean, and really, it would be very boring if you came in here and loved everything you saw. This is good, especially when we're giving you a hard time about it.
You really didn't like Shrek.
No, not as much as I wanted to. In fact, there were moments I liked, but I mean, you know, it's the story I didn't like that much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
All right,
okay.
We'll get out. All right, go check out that Moulin Rouge movie, Mike.
Okay.
All right, guys.
All right, bye.
Charlie's mad at me.
There he is.
All right.
Charlie Stossel, everybody.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, that's cool.
That's cool.
Chick flick.
Yeah.
Girl with big breasts running in slow motion.
Hey, don't forget
who wants that?
She's skinny. Yeah. She's like a real life Barbie.
See, normally I feel sorry for Charlie at times like this. You
right.
know, everybody gangs up on him. And, you know, he's a straight guy. But then he says his criticism of the movie is she's thin, she has large breasts and large lips, and he doesn't want to see her running in slow motion. Now, you know, he's not helping his case when he says that.
Oh, he's not. Thank you, Buzz. Thank you. And can I tell you something, Buzz?
Yes, tell me.
Yeah. No, I'm talking, this is Don.
Oh, yes, Don.
Your outfit today, no S, it is the gayest I have ever seen you wear.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Work boots, shorts.
Boots and shorts, right.
God damn, you're sexy.
Thank you.
You could be in the Village People.
Has the whole world gone gay?
Yes, yes, it has.
Goodbye, Charlie.
Ta-ta.
There goes Charlie Stoffel.
Yeah.
But that I'm kidding. You're dreamy.
Thank you.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
To the letters, F-O mean anything to you?
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, where's the old man? Hey, Buzzy.
Oh, no.
I hope he didn't go out to change his clothes just because I commented on his outfit.
Oh, my God. Look on the floor.
Maybe it's finally happened.
Well, there's Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Buzz is on the floor here.
Give him some CPR.
I don't want to.
Give him CPR.
Will that bring him back?
Get either Morris Jones or D.L. Hughley on the phone. We've always maintained that those would be the two guys to take Buzz's place.
Yeah. No, kidding. Buzz is not in here.
Buzz is somewhere in the building. Get the guy with the
coat. Oh, there he is.
Blue.
Hi,
Buzz.
Hi,
Buzz. Thanks for joining us, Buzz.
Thank you. Sorry.
I do have a job for you, Buzz.
Ready.
If you will please go to www.ebay.com.
Okay.
Hey. Go there, and I'm going to tell you where to go after that, after you get to eBay. I'm going to tell you what the keyword to look for.
eBay.
All right.
I like the eBay.
Okay, here's the homepage.
Okay. Keyword, Timothy McVeigh.
Okay, under smart search, under the search there.
You're not going to believe it.
Oh, really? Is this going to piss us off?
No. It's just nothing gross.
Right.
But, for instance, when I was on the site earlier today, one of the guys in the jail who was in the room when they shot him up with the stuff that killed him, made
lethal injection, right?
He had like whatever the cap is that you wear if you work in a prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The guys put the cap on eBay that he was wearing when he was in the room when Timothy McVeigh was killed. When I left my house today, The bid was up to $1,200 for the hat.
You know, it's a weird world we live in.
Yeah, I read about the same thing, but right now they're saying, sorry, we couldn't find any items for Timothy McVeigh.
Hey, maybe they got wind of it. You know something? Sometimes they shut those down.
They have been taking them off lately.
When I left my house today...
Here's nine items found for McVeigh. Let me see what that involves.
When I left my house today, and I left early with my new job. I'm having to get in here way earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I left my house like at 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Right.
It was online right before I left.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There were maybe 29 things.
No, not now.
That people had listed.
Here are nine items under McVeigh, but none of them related to Timothy McVeigh. McVeigh honey is available here.
Nothing under Timothy McVeigh?
Nothing under Timothy McVeigh, and just these nine odd items under McVeigh.
And I thought that eBay has some policy that where they've got a screening policy, right, where you couldn't put something awful on, like when people were trying to put, like, babies on eBay and stuff.
Yeah, they haven't, you know, it's been a work in progress, but sometimes if they're taking heat over their membership,
mm-hmm.
if they get a tremendous amount of heat, like, what the hell are you doing, they'll shut that down and they'll take the stuff off.
I think they kind of respond to what people think, because for a while they were selling a lot of Nazi stuff.
You got
that?
Yeah.
Not on there anymore.
Yeah, I tried something different. Here we go. Here are some of the items.
Shocker, you surfed that, Rob.
I can't move the product anymore.
The Nazi items?
Yeah, jeez. I got a cocktail shaker.
Oh,
I got
God, you.
Did you find it, Buzz?
Yeah, I did. Now I found
John,
like,
baby, how's it going?
Two dozen items now, so they are still here.
As your partner in Nazi items?
Yeah, look us up.
Well, look on, baby. How's it going?
Hey.
Check out our website.
Great plate.
All right, what do they got there, Buzz?
We've got the Timothy McVeigh on an old Time magazine cover. Is one of the valuable items.
Scroll down and see if you can find that hat I was looking at today.
Okay.
It's a hat worn by a jailer.
It's a prison hat.
Yeah.
Post-mortem. They have his post-mortem here. There's photo, some clippings, newspaper clippings. An intelligent report, it says, rare.
Buzz, keep looking. I got people on the phone. Maybe they can find it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey.
I found 24 things. I don't know if I'm spelling it differently.
I have the same two dozen items.
Yeah, put both his names in at once.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, my friend.
Sure. Yeah,
Buzz did that. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Nope.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. I was listening this morning to a news article about eBay, and they said that once they realize, or once it comes that those items have to do exactly with Timothy McVeigh, that they won't be sold because they won't allow any murderous or things that have to do with the murder sold on eBay.
Well, that's why there are 24 items up there. Buzz, your initial spelling, was it M-C capital V-E-H-H-H-H?
Yes. Yes, it was.
McVeigh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, you need to go to www.timothymcebay.com.
Okay.
No.
Although there's a great new sandwich at McDonald's. the Timothy
McVeigh LT.
Hello?
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, you said that there's one guy who said he scraped up some pubic hair from the shower, and he's selling it on eBay. It's for $20 right now. You see that?
You see that, Buzz? Where is that on the page? That would be a lie.
No, it's down in the lower third of it.
Uh-huh. Does it say...
No.
What is the header on it, sir?
It just says...
You say McVeigh pubic hair for sale?
Yes.
Well, you know, sometimes
you're
people,
lying.
Sometimes
no,
people,
really.
Sometimes people. Maybe this guy is.
Yes,
but sometimes people can sneak stuff on eBay.
Right.
They can. Hello.
However briefly.
Not in my shoe.
I'm having trouble concentrating.
I know. I'm tucking my pants up. I'm sorry.
He's thrown his tie over his right shoulder, and his pants have mysteriously headed towards the floor.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz or Brain, actually. What is Timothy McVeigh's middle name? You know how, like, all these serial killers have...
You know, you don't hear that. I mean,
no,
John
right.
Wayne Gacy and your other mass murderers, you don't hear that very often.
John Wilkes Booth.
His name is Mick. Timothy McVeigh.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Thank you, Rob.
A sincere thank you for both of us.
Thank
for that
you.
One.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. I just want to give Don another website to check out.
What's that?
X-Bay. They auction off X-rated stuff.
X-Bay, okay, thank you. Now, that one, I believe, is a real site.
X-Bay, okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, my fat bastard.
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I typed in McVeigh in all letters, just from one last name. I got 50 items.
You got 50 items. Do you have the hat there, the hat that the jailer?
I'm looking for it. I got nothing over $69. I've got a newspaper article for $69. I typed in MCVEIGH in small letters.
Okay, let me try that. I had Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, it's probably multiple sites.
And if you want to find all your Nazi merchandise, all your KKK merchandise,
right,
go to Irabe.
Irabe. Or Elide.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, great, thanks.
Hey, I bid on that hat earlier this morning when the bidding was around $600 or $700.
Wow.
I
mean, by the
time they canceled it because I got an email that said due to the something nature blah 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 your bid and all others associated with it has been canceled.
Ours is not a place to judge, sir. But can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why did you bid on the hat?
Why not?
No, that's not good enough. Why? You must have had some reason.
Not just for the hell of it. I mean, absolutely no reason whatsoever other than to see how much it would go for.
Did you bid on it thinking you probably wouldn't get it?
No, actually, had I stayed the high bidder and it would have got close, I would have just canceled my bid.
The description was... The description was, and I'm going to paraphrase here. Maybe you remember better if you actually bid on it. It was, you know, the excitement of Timothy McVeigh's execution. Experience it through a hat worn by... Oh, he hung up. Experience it through a hat worn by an actual prison guard in the room at the time of the lethal injection.
Kind of weird. Kind of weird.
And like I say, it was up to $1,200 before I left the house today.
You know, I would, if the guy had given me an answer like, you know, I'm a collector, I think it would be as historical item, it might be valuable someday. That would be the only legitimate thing.
Still weird, though.
Well, then, you know, then you could like counter with, hey, you're making money off of a lot of people, you know?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Hello.
There's a new killer sports car out there called the Timothy McVeigh.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Timothy J. How about Dennis Murphy with a real helpful call?
Well, how come no one referred to him as TJ McVeigh?
TJ McVeigh sounds great.
You find something, Buzz?
Well, no, just that X-Bay has moved to a different location.
Oh, he went on X-Bay.
Oh, Buzz, stick with the eBay, Timothy McVeigh.
I did find the 50 items. It's down to just newspaper and magazine clippings at this point.
Somebody cleaned it up real good. Okay. All right. Thank you, Dennis.
I'll see you later. Have a good day.
Hey, what is the middle name?
It's Timothy Joseph McVeigh.
What's the short version of that middle name?
I'm not going to say it.
Okay. I just wanted to see if you'd do it, Dennis.
Can I promote my show Saturday?
Dennis, why weren't you in the execution site in Terre Haute?
I was there. I was going to go, but I had two family commitments, and Conker.
Yeah, but didn't you say you were going to go?
I said I was going to go.
You know, I just want to say Mike doesn't really care about the answer. Mike's just trying to get Mike's just trying to get Dennis to say no. And you know what? I've forgotten all of this. When we've had Buzz go to eBay and to X-Bay.
Right.
This is an edition of DonandMike.com. DonandMike.com.
Are you coming to me?
Shut up, Dennis.
Talk over my part, Dennis. Hold on.
Don and Mike Show.
Shocker, Dennis did that.
DonandMike.com.
Why did you talk over my name, Dennis?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you almost said no. You almost said
what do you want to promote?
I will be doing a show from Japan, and it's going to be on streamlined audio, and people across the country can hear me.
Where?
KCKK, Iowa City.
What's the site?
DennisMurphy.com, and you can click on the link.
Why didn't you tell us earlier?
Well, I said no yesterday.
Hold on, someone wants to correct Dennis. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, he's wrong about the middle name for Timothy McVeigh.
He's wrong?
Yeah, he is wrong. It's Ivey.
Wait, are you trying to make a joke? Hello?
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, what an idiot that guy is.
That was a real idiot.
What an idiot he is. Dennis? Oh, I hung up on Dennis. Sorry about that.
Hey, but he's conquered that no problem.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, I think you just got the answer about Timothy's middle name. It's actually James.
TJ. TJ McVeigh.
Did she just hang up?
Hello?
No.
Yeah.
Well, so, wait, you know what? Hold on. I got more than one line on at the same time, I think. There we go. Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, his real middle name is James.
Okay.
All right, just so you know, because Dennis Murphy's wrong.
Well, now, what did Dennis say it was?
He said Joseph.
He said it was Joseph, and then this
Buzz says James.
Yes. Buzz, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to go to the internet for another episode of DonandMike.com.
Don!
What do you need, Don?
I need Timothy McVeigh's middle name.
Hi! It is. Hello?
Hold on.
Don and Mike Show!
Here on DonandMike.com. There should be. Should be a site where you can find the dude's middle name, right?
Well, we have a dispute here, whether it's Joseph or James.
Well, I live in the Western New York area that he grew up in, so there's a lot of talk about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we hear his middle name quite often. It is James.
All right, well, if you got it right, I'll give you a prize. Hold on a second, okay?
Timmy Jimmy.
Hold on. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
I work for the U.S. Marshal's Office at 4th Street. Downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And his middle name is James.
James, okay. There's a confirmation.
And I would like to stay anonymous, but I'd like to correct everything that's been going on. And remind Dennis, he still is an idiot.
All right.
All right, then.
And you're a federal officer.
Hey, listen, hey, U.S. Marshal, we love free stuff from the U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, can we get some free stuff?
I will call you guys later.
All right, call us in the office. We love the hats. We love the jacket. It's
been a long time since we've gotten some real, like, police stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, and Mike. Hi.
Hi, Don and Mike and Buzz. The reason why they don't list Timothy McVeigh's middle name is because they only do that for people who kill the president.
That's well, not true. Duh.
You know, David Chapman.
Yes, you would find. I don't even know why I'm entering into this discussion with this guy.
And John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, it's not
a. Aforementioned John Wayne
Gacy. It's not a rule.
Right, G. Gordon Liddy.
Okay, you proved me wrong. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Yes, we have.
You proved me wrong? Hello, Donald Mike Show.
There you go.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Philip Michael Tom.
If his name is TJ.
What, honey?
If his name is TJ McVeigh, does that mean his friends call him Hooker for TJ Hooker?
I don't know. Buzz, you have any luck looking up his name yet?
Yeah, there was no logic to it at all, yes.
I'm basically looking at just a lot of articles about him, and you're right, virtually none of them mention his middle name.
Well, it's a stumper on this edition of DonandMike.com.
Don!
Can Buzz find a website that gives us the middle name of Timothy McVeigh? Search, Buzz.
I'm searching.
How do I understand why we can't find its middle name?
I dare you.
Just couldn't find enough time.
I dare you.
Ron Bennington. Damn.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
James. Found it.
Ew.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. You found it, Buzz?
Yes, at crime.com. They say it's Timothy James.
Yeah.
Hold on.
How you doing, guy?
Is this the how you doing, guy?
Sounds like him. Sounds like the original.
The original how you doing, guy.
What did you call for this time?
Hey, Dad.
Did you want to sing along to the DonandMike.com theme?
Hey, Dad.
That's a yes.
I'll play it for you. Here. Do it.
Really?
He fit it in, right?
He expanded his repertoire.
How you doing? Buzz, where'd you go to find that?
Crime.com says it's Timothy James McVeigh.
Which means Dennis Murphy was...
Wrong. How you doing, guys?
Wrong.
I can't believe that. You know, I finally think Dennis called with a real contribution.
It's
Joseph.
Of course not. Okay. Hey, goodbye. How you doing, guy?
Hey, Dad.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, show a little respect for women. We want women to listen to this station, so cut the locker room talk. When you turn the mic on, think of that ideal Washington woman. You know, intelligent, upscale, like Madonna, you know?
Go fist yourself, pimple ass.
Hey, man, we had an agreement. 9 songs an hour, not 7, not 8, 9. You keep up this yap, yap, yap crap, and you'll be back in Chicago driving that trash truck with your Earth Dog brother.
Eat my bum, dickweed.
I told you guys, don't overload your listeners. One bit per break. Don't cram all that junk together. Use your head.
Tickle the Duke, useless prick.
Hey, man, why are you always talking about your wife? Who cares if you beat your wife? Everybody beats your wife.
Go, Bob. On my knob. Ass munch.
Peter Johnson.
Oh, we're out of smoky tape. Sorry about that.
Discussing places and wet things. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I thought we had plenty more tapes of our old program director, but I guess we're down to just 4.
Smokey Rivers. Wonder where he is right now.
I know where he is. St. Louis.
Is he still in St. Louis?
You know the station he's working at?
Where?
The call letters are KYKY.
Man, I tell you, it's an easy fit.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike, it's Eddie from Queens.
Eddie from Queens. Hello, Eddie.
How you doing? I just want to call you guys, wish you a happy Father's Day. Rob, the whole crew.
Yes, everybody except Buzz.
Right.
But no, listen. Make no bones. Buzz has his cats.
Yes,
hey,
he does.
That's a pussy.
Hey, does your wife give you gifts because you're the father of the cats?
I don't get gifts. Yeah. I get gift certificates. I've been getting a lot of tattoos.
That was for Buzz, but Eddie answered it.
Thank you, Eddie.
All right, thanks, Eddie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, my friend.
You know, I have to learn that technique after all these years of taking calls on the radio that when I ask a question of either one of you or Rob,
right.
And when we've got a caller on the line, quite often the caller will be confused.
You got to put a name after it.
So, you know, from now on, it'll be...
Mike.
Hey, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hey, Don.
Yeah, and Mike.
Hey, sorry about that. I just want to let you guys know that you were just playing the station manager bit there. They dumped you twice on that.
Oh, come on. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not lying. There was, like, pauses in between twice on it.
Well, now, there could have been a pause because I would play the tape of...
Yeah, that was...
The program director and then play the tape of Pete Johnson.
I don't think there was anything there to be dumped.
It just sounded like he was interrupted.
I'll check. I don't think so.
Sorry about that, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Well, what's the Pixie's number?
Thanks.
514?
Listeners always looking for trouble.
Yes.
And well, finding it quite often.
They helped out yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Hey, Pixie, did you dump anything there?
Did not dump a thing.
There you go. Thank you, honey.
All right.
Bye-bye. Another friend has been made.
There she goes. Yeah, she came to me today and she said, why do you call me Pixie? I said, well, because you look at you. You fit in the palm of my hand. You're tiny. You're a little Pixie. She said, okay.
That was kind of telling you.
I PO'd. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Are you guys familiar with that TMJ?
Temporal mandibular joint disorder?
Yeah, sure.
And that is the most painful thing. So, I mean, have you ever had it?
I have it now. I'm suffering from it as we speak, right now.
And how much pain are you in?
I am in so much pain, but I have a method of coping with my pain.
Well, Mike's drinking during the show again.
Slap?
What's that?
Little nut slap help cope in the pain?
No, I don't need to slap my, nut.
No.
Yeah. I actually just have the better part of a fifth of whiskey before I do the show.
That sounds...
You know, I think it's got TMJ is that... That broad who I thought was married to the guy on Burden of Proof.
Greta Van Susteren.
All those flow bobs.
Pardon me?
From the flow bobs that he gives. Huh? Flow jobs.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know where you're going with that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I just wanted to... Hey, hi. How you doing, Buzz? Sorry about that.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to Make No Sense Day on the Don and Mike show.
No, you know what? Hold on. Up until this break, our callers have been pretty great today.
Yeah.
We've not had a lot of problems today, like yesterday.
I couldn't agree with you more.
We haven't.
I could not agree with you more.
We have taken a lot of calls, but up until this break, they've been all right.
I agree.
Right?
Absolutely.
Now, am I listening to a different show?
No, it's just I think we've had several phone calls today that have been confusing in their nature.
More so than usual?
Mm-hmm. Rob, I know you disagree with me. Shocker, but that's fine.
Hello?
Yeah, Don, I just wanted to see what you think about all these manhole covers blowing up today.
You know, goddamn, when are people in Washington, D.C. going to listen to me? Where's this one, Buzz, on M Street?
Yes, it is.
Haven't they closed down both ends of M Street?
A big section of it, yes.
You know what they should do? Take a page from Fairfax and bolt them all down. That way, if they blow up,
all the stuff stays underground, and no one gets in trouble.
But the walls of the subway will go poof
just for a second,
right?
And all the stuff will, all the steam will escape.
They might crack a little bit.
No,
you know, I have been screaming about this for a long time with the exploding manhole covers in D.C., and it's happening again.
You have spent thousands of dollars of your own money investigating this, and still no answers.
I have not spent a dime, but I certainly have wasted lots of valuable airtime screaming about it.
I heard three of them today.
There was an explosion in one, but there was smoke coming out of several different... and now they're replacing some of the manhole covers with vented ones, you know, so they have slots in them so that the pressure can escape without blowing the lid off of it.
And again, this is a phenomenon that is just based in Washington, D.C., where these manhole covers shoot up in the air, 20 feet in the air. You got flames, you got smoke coming out of them.
You know how you saw that? Colanders. You use colanders.
You mean like the thing you use for pasta?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. You know, they got the grates in it. You don't have to go spend that money. Go down to that Williams Sonoma place.
They're made out of plastic, though.
No, you can get a metal one. You can get a money metal one.
It has to be a money metal one, though. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I called yesterday. I was the dumbass caller guy, and I think we're going there again today, aren't we? We're starting to get to the dumbass
absolutely
call.
Not. And I disagree, no.
Well, that guy who called a minute ago was trying to insinuate that Mike does a little of the old wah-wah-wah-wah, you know what I mean? That's what he was trying to say. He was trying to say
that Mike does a little bit of the what?
The little old chin-slap doodad.
That Mike beats his meat?
No, that he takes it from someone else in his face, if you know what I mean.
Do you mean that I pleasure other men with my mouth?
Yeah, I mean, the way he
Why didn't he just come out and say it? We all know it's the truth.
Be proud.
God, what is wrong with people? I mean, if you've got an issue, come right out and say it. Don't beat around the bush. I do that occasionally. Help me in my career.
Hello, Don. Like it.
How are you, Mike?
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Don and Golden Boy?
Hi.
About the manhole covers, there's four of them in M Street. Two of them have flames coming out of them, and the other one is just smoke.
Mm-hmm. You know,
They got M Street completely shut down.
Yeah, I think M Street is shut down, all of
us. Right now, I'm in Georgetown, and it's a bitch. I'm trying to get home to Fairfax.
There's pandemonium in the city.
Terrorism. I'm telling you, it's terrorists.
You think?
I'm telling you. Well, listen,
what would cause that? Flames and everything. I mean, is the whole city gone mad?
A bad connection in a 13,000 volt line underground.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for months. Mm-hmm.
And that person that's in charge of the manhole cover is over there.
We know the answer, though, right? We know the answer. If the Golden Boy was in charge, none of this would be happening.
You're goddamn right it wouldn't happen. You know, and really, an outside...
Can the Golden Boy shine again?
Sure, I would take care of that problem. I would do it the same way I'm taking care of all those problems, by occasionally pleasuring a man.
And letting him spew on you.
Absolutely. You know, the Golden Boy, if you want to, you know, go to the real origins of that name. Huh. Hey, it works, though. I'll tell you, we got a lot done in this city.
It's the DNA shower.
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Morrisoons.
Hey, hello, Joe. How you doing, Morris?
You guys doing? My manhole exploded today as well.
Hey, Morris, hold on. Hey, Rob, step up.
I almost drove into one yesterday.
Hold on. You got to hear about Rob last night when we were going to this charity thing.
Right. I forgot about this story.
Told me the goddamn funniest Morris Jones story.
Really?
Based on his appearance last week on the show.
What happened?
Long time Don and Mike listeners will remember Cannon Grace. Well,
yes,
Cannon is in sales now and encountered Morris.
At the gentle giant. He used to be one of our phone guys.
Right.
And he was looking for a product and they didn't have it. And as they were leaving, another salesman said, "Say, you're Morris Jones, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you're not on Channel 5 anymore. What's going on with you?" And here's the quote. Morris said, "Well, I don't know if you heard, but last week the Don and Mike Show honored me with Morris Jones Day."
That's great. There you go. It was a great honor.
It was an honor.
We honored Morris Jones.
Sure, he took home a plaque.
Not a trace of levity there. So
way to go, Mike. That was excellent.
Well, Morris, we're very happy to have had you on the show. Is there a chance we could speak to the man who is on the air at Channel 5?
Is Mike Landis there?
Mike Landis, hold on a second.
Thank you.
Oh, good.
Hey, Mike Landis, come to the phone right now. Don and Mike want to talk to you immediately.
Do you think we're the only guys? You know, I feel like Mankind, when he said he wrote that joke in his book that only four people got.
Yeah.
Do you think we're the only people who think this is funny?
Well, it's Don and Mike.
Who's this?
Mike Landis.
Hey, Mike. How are you guys doing?
I'm very jealous.
Can I talk to Will Thomas?
Will Thomas, hold on. Will Thomas, get up. Don and Mike want to talk to you right now. Don and Mike. Will Thomas speaking.
I was thinking there might be one change of voice there when we got Will Thomas. Yeah, Rob, were you thinking the same thing I was?
Hi, this is Will Thomas.
Hello.
Have to be consistent, Don.
All right, goodbye to all of you.
I love you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Mike Landis, signing off.
Goodbye.
Laura Stone, signing off. Will Thomas, signing off.
Okay.
There he goes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Bodies.
I think it's official. We're the only guys who really think that's a funny bit.
Yeah, he would have really, I mean, he would have extended his shelf life.
He would have said, you know, hello.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a professional, but he plays one on TV, but it would have been, you know, to have that Will Thomas.
Yoo-hoo!
Maybe next time he calls, Will Thomas can sound somewhat different.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Bodies.
Hey.
Hey, I want to know if you guys knew about a couple of the leading researchers who actually treat celebrities with TMJ.
No. I mean, no, we don't
Zach
know.
Davis and Bob Jungle Death Gerard.
Oh, those guys are fags. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, I just kind of called. I got cut off. Can I try to scoop Buzz before the break?
Sure, it's almost news time. Let's call and give some news. What
always,
do you got?
And always good to have Buzz scoop with a guy that's got his radio turned up too loud.
Yeah, well, we're sorry. You know, anyway,
you're not sorry. You wouldn't have called, but go ahead. You're here.
What?
Did you hear they issued a warrant for Robert Blake's arrest for the murder of his wife?
I think I would have seen that, but I'll check into it.
Thank you, Buzz.
Where'd you hear that?
Huh?
Where did you hear that?
Oh, that's Rob in the background. I heard that from the CNN newswire.
You heard it from the CNN news.
You have a wire in your house?
I have a wire in my house. I just left my home. Said door.
Now I don't believe it. You're lying. I've got CNN on in the newsroom. They've had nothing about it. There's nothing on the Associated Press about
it. Roger Cossack.
you're right. I can't back that up.
It's another bogus call.
What, you lie?
I can't back that up.
Good job. Right,
thank you.
That was highly entertaining.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
See what you've done? You piss Buzz off now.
Oh,
yes,
hello.
This
hello.
Is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Hi, Jamie Lee.
And I would just like to say that even speaking about whatever his name is a very bad thing.
All right,
and once again, I'd just like to say this is Jamie Lee Curtis for the victims of Oklahoma. Because my career is bombed just like them.
All right.
Oh, my God.
They just get stranger.
Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
Wow, and it started out so well.
the guy with a stuttering problem.
I think these are great calls. I ask you not.
How about the
This is Jamie Lee Curtis. Not on my show.
Hi. I had a comment about Will Thomas.
What? What's your comment about Will Thomas?
He definitely has a higher voice.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
It's been confirmed.
Thank you. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello. Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi. The method of birth control that my wife and I use is coitus interruptus.
Right.
We call it beating around the bush.
All right, now that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was very bad.
That is the only one, though, as far as I can see.
I liked all the rest. I really did.
If we really went through with a fine-tooth comb.
Hello, Don and Mike. Jeff.
Can we plate them all back?
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Well, maybe I like them in context with what we say about them.
Sure, of course. And they're all, well, if we want to overanalyze.
Hello.
Every day fills me with great
joy. Hello, Don and Mike show. You're the last call.
What's going on?
You're the last call. Hi.
How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Hey, I just ran into a manhole cover and got spunk all over me, and I have a pimple out.
All right. Thank you.
Goodbye.
That was beautiful.
Goodbye.
That was not the best call we took all day. You're looking at me like I'm going to say that was a good one.
No,
not a good one.
I never quite know what you're going to say.
No.
That keeps it spontaneous.
That was not a good one. Time for the news with Buzz now.
Yes, it is.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Guy Burnley.
He made it up.
Buzz, yes. Really, without being scooped by anybody, what is your lead story tonight?
Tonight, America gets less violent and more gay.
Really? Yes. Where's Charlie Stossel? Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. The Don and Mike Show.
That was very
Lara Croft spectacular.
Number one, Arbitron Lady. The Don and Mike Show.
the word from Planet Crackpot.
They hate books. Don and Mike.
Maybe my favorite bumper.
Yeah, I really, you know, it's accurate, except for the book by the wrestler.
Right.
News and comment time. All right, Mick Foley's blood. Does it have pictures?
Yes.
Excellent.
News and comment time with Buzz Now, sponsored tonight by eGars.com, your source for cigar gifts for Father's Day. Order online or call 877-81-EGARS. And now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. We've gotten less violent. Violent crime was down again last year. It was the biggest drop in 27 years of record keeping. Violent crime was down 15% last year. Property crimes like burglary and auto theft were down 10%. That's 3 million fewer crimes last year than the year before. Experts cite three reasons. A huge teenage population got a little older, an epidemic of crack cocaine subsided, and the economy got stronger. The downturn in violent crime began in 1994. The number of same-sex partner households in America didn't just increase in the last 10 years. It skyrocketed.
That's right.
Early figures just out from the latest census show that the number of same-sex households up 500% in Vermont, up 900% in Delaware.
What about Virginia?
They haven't gotten that far in processing the numbers yet.
Is that where Charlie Stossel lives?
Yes, they won't let him in.
Researchers say the world has not gone gay. They say gays and lesbians just feel more comfortable now about not hiding their lifestyles.
Good.
Now, the researchers say they want to see the figures from bigger, more heavily populated states.
Okay.
The whole world's gone gay!
Not quite.
Bring them to Virginia. I'd like to hear those statistics. Start at the Stossel House.
1,600 people in Washington, D.C. are without air conditioning in the midst of a heat alert. Some of those are
Rob.
Some of those are business people who closed their shops and offices. They're losing money.
F them.
They lost power.
Well, I got my air conditioning.
Where do you hear why they lost power?
Yeah. See, you should be on their side.
Listen to this. They're going to change your story.
They lost power.
Why F them?
They lost power as we began today's show because of yet another in a rash of exploding manhole covers.
Oh, all right, you're right.
Today?
Well, half them. They shouldn't live downtown by manhole covers. Well, they should live out in the suburbs where I do, where it's safe.
Go where the food is.
Right.
Today, the blast came from a manhole in Georgetown. Smoke poured from several other manholes in the area, forcing a street closing.
That's the exploding manhole.
There she goes.
Thank you.
You know, if we ever get that isolated sound from yesterday's show of the manhole cover spinning,
combine
it with that explosion,
then
the next time it happens, we got us a sound effect.
We got it.
Right.
The power company's investigating. The explosion started 16 months ago. That's how long this has been going on. There were 3 manhole cover explosions last month alone. These people in Georgetown now will have no power until midnight. That means restaurants won't be able to open, so people won't be able to have dinner because it'll be too hot in there. So the city, this is the city's way of trying to compensate for the problem. The city's pulled up a string of buses with air conditioning.
We're not going to be able to go to the restaurant that we like. We're going to have to go to another restaurant.
You can go sit on an air-conditioned bus.
There you go. Let's sit on an air-conditioned bus.
Yes, sit on an air-conditioned bus.
Hey, we can sit on an air-conditioned bus.
I can eat 50 eggs.
How long?
An hour.
An hour. Anyway, they brought in these air-conditioned buses for people to get on to stay cool. So you can walk over
on
a bus.
If you want to fix the problem, right. Bring in the air-conditioned buses, and you put some of those chafing dishes on there. Load them up with food.
So you mean you're supposed to go to your restaurant, your sushi restaurant that you like in Georgetown?
Well, no, it'll be closed. The restaurants will be closed.
Restaurants are closed because there's no power.
The buses are merely being provided as heat relief for people who live and work in the area.
So if you live in the area or work in the area, you can go down from your townhouse
and
hop on a bus to cool off.
Go nowhere.
Yeah.
I want to see those people.
That's about the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
What about restaurants where you eat outside?
There you go.
You can eat there, and they probably cook with gas.
Yeah, but the food would smell funny.
That's all right. It smells better than the bus.
Christ, that's a dumb idea, Buzz.
Well, it wasn't my idea.
I'm not chastising you. You're just a messenger.
It's a cool place. I mean, and when it's hot, it's terribly hot out there. And
stick your head in the freezer. I mean, even without electricity, I mean, it's still frozen in there for a while.
It's cool for a while, sure.
About an hour.
God damn, this is a bass-ackward city.
City, Washington, D.C. It truly is.
Yeah.
But at least the new administration is doing something. In the old days, nothing would have been done.
Well, he'd be smiling and sweating.
I couldn't get the buses out there. I'm sorry. I'm using the bus myself. Just couldn't make it undone.
That's right.
That's right. Ain't it,
the Double Dutch bus.
Oh, it's hot. It's hot.
Man, ain't it a bitch? It's real hot.
Miss you.
I do. I
miss you every day.
I miss all of you, too.
Your big oversized cowboy hat and your big foam rubber We're Number One Redskins thing.
I got a great way to beat the heat, though.
What's that?
Smoke crack. Thank you.
The U.S. Postal Service won't say how much money is missing from its depository in Phoenix, but a TV station there says it's $3.7 million. The money went missing last week, about the same time a 28-year-old employee vanished. Postal authorities won't say much about the case, except that they do think it was an inside job.
Whee! Buzz, who am I to criticize your choice of the news? Of course, it's your area of expertise.
Okay. What's wrong?
All I know is that, you know, I clip items out of the newspaper.
You do, I know.
Yeah. I get jokes.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I know you had the Gotti thing the other day, right?
Right, yeah. I was, I think, the first to have that story, as a matter of fact. He's not well. He's still dying.
But how come this wasn't your lead story? Can you read the headline?
I missed that story. I didn't see that one. But that's kind of old news also.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's not?
New reports released yesterday
found
that Baltimore is the number one city in America for heroin use.
Where's the fanfare?
That's right. Baltimore. Another reason to be proud to be from Baltimore.
They've had a long-standing drug problem. I didn't know they'd rocketed to first in heroin.
I'll tell you right now, that's a great cab cake, and take a look at my track mark.
And I know that. I know Baltimore's number one in syphilis, and number one in gonorrhea.
Right. That's right.
And, of course, they have the Super Bowl champion Ravens, but now...
Mm-hmm.
Another reason to be proud in Charm City.
Yes.
Number one in heroin use.
Which is worse? The O's on a 20-game losing streak or having a hard time finding a vein?
You know what's a good night for me?
What?
What's that? I'm watching the tape of Marty Bass.
Early
morning on Channel 13.
Marty Bass and Don Scott.
I got a spoon.
Sure.
And what I do is I heat up the spoon like they saw in the movie Traffic with my heroin.
Yeah, there you go.
And I shoot it between my toes.
Right on.
And then I sit back and watch Denise Toast going, Eyewitness News 13.
And then I get that super big styrofoam finger up and say, we're number one for heroin use.
We love heroin.
Super duper.
In Baltimore.
Super.
I can't believe you didn't have that story, bud.
I'm sorry.
Come on, get on your stick.
Come on, we're proud of Baltimore.
Baltimore, number one in heroin.
Come
on, now, because we'll start, you know, if you don't have those stories, we're going to start needling you.
Time out. All right. Time out.
All right.
Don't forget that, Baltimore, number one in heroin.
Number one.
We got the Ravens. We got Cal. We got heroin. Number one.
Yes, sir. Time for me to suit up.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Waited, the Don and Mike Show.
The autopsy photos of race car driver Dale Earnhardt will remain sealed. A judge in Daytona
back
Beach, Florida.
Oh, we're back on the air?
A judge has refused to release Earnhardt's autopsy photos.
All right, we're back on the air. Hi, everybody.
Hi, sorry about that. It was lightning.
Let me say, for those of you listening on WJFK-FM when the station's been off for the last 3 minutes, it only got back on the air because we have a great Jim Dandy program director now.
I just want to say the management team that's in place right now made that happen.
Boy, you saw.
The old management team, we would have been off for days.
Right.
What, Rob?
But we have no delay, so you still can't go to the phones.
Oh, sure I can. I trust our listeners.
No, I don't think the phones actually get punched up.
Right. They don't work.
The phones don't work without a delay.
The engineering is currently working on that.
Very good.
Hello, welcome to a car wreck segment of a radio show.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what happens is, right as we're going back on the air, all of the power goes off in the studio. Then the power comes back on.
Mm-hmm.
The lights are flickering.
Yeah, it was very weird about the lights. You know, we're obviously at our transmitter site. This is where this has all happened.
I guess so.
So we can't see any electrical storm activity, but I'm looking at the lights going...
My name is Humphrey.
And meanwhile, Wendell comes running in here, and I turn around because I'm about ready to just open the microphone and start saying F-S, F-S, you know, stuff I've always wanted to say.
There we go again, a little glitch there.
And I say to Wendell, are we on the air? And he says, no.
I said, well, great, I'll say the F word. And he said, oh, no, you're still on the network. And so, how can we be on the network if we're off the air?
Those who goes on another channel, Tusty!
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
It's magic.
Hi, Buzz. All I know is at one time,
I will tell you, Wendell Hall was in this studio within 30 seconds. I've never seen an engineer with more cat-like reflexes than Wendell Hall.
When I worked at the station, and I would not take calls without a delay, because when I worked at the station in Chicago, WLS,
mm-hmm.
one night the tower got hit by lightning,
mm-hmm.
and we lost the delay. And I was working at 10 o'clock that night, and John Landecker was on before me.
Right.
And he got on the air, and he said, hey, I want to take some phone calls, but I want to tell you something right now. We've got no delay. This was 1981.
Right, yeah.
But he says, we're going to take calls because I trust you. Hello, WLS. F you.
Everybody immediately called. Like one right after the other.
Five in a row. That was F you, eat S, die M-F-er, you're a C-S-er.
I didn't know him. You did. Did he know what he was doing?
No.
No, he didn't?
Wow. He really thought he could trust his listeners.
That's even funnier. That's even funnier.
And he got mad because I was laughing in the back of the room. You know, he takes off his headphones and goes, that's not funny, man.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. Hey.
WLS. All right.
I don't give you listeners that same courtesy.
No. Is the delay back yet or is it blown out?
Hey, it's back.
I'm not back.
We got delay again. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Yeah?
Was there a manhole explosion?
No, it wasn't a manhole explosion. Thank you, though. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hold on.
Lose the caller. There is no delay, even though it's allowing you to punch up callers. Now it's truly screwed up.
Rob, I trust our listeners.
All right.
As do I.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Hello.
Oh.
Did they do that upstairs?
I'm sure they did.
Somebody just cut the phone line.
Somebody did. That was I think that was a man in a golf shirt.
I think so, because now the phones are dead.
And he also has cat-like reflexes.
He does.
They just killed our phones.
They did.
He's a smart little weasel, isn't he?
Hey, listen, unlike John Landecker, I really did trust you people. And if one of you happened to drop the F-bomb, c'est la vie. Right, I trust
you. There you go.
Anyway. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. So a judge has ruled this evening that the autopsy photos of Dale Earnhardt cannot be released. The family, of course, didn't want that to happen. The lawyers for the school newspaper and the website that did want it to happen say that they thought that the public could review the pictures and maybe prevent another accident like that in the future.
Storm's here.
Yeah, look at that rain.
Yeah.
Not since the 1980s.
Yeah.
I was saying, we can't play that back, can we?
Yeah, no, we can't.
Oh, damn, too bad.
I guess the tape decks are all fried.
Not since the 1980s has there been such a nightclub, and not since the 80s have the authorities been so upset.
You're talking about Gold Club?
No, a different club.
And you say, because what's his name? What's the guy's name? From
Roger Kosick.
I bet you're all over that.
Roger Kosick would love that.
Yeah.
Grab him by the arm. Patrick Ewing? Getting a BJ? I bet you're all over that. Call me. He never called back today.
No, we didn't.
He did not call back.
Maybe he didn't make it into work today.
Amazing. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's right. Because I won't be coming in today.
I'm sick.
I come down with something.
Real unexpected.
He might not have even retrieved his messages.
Sure.
Fetal position.
Wait, what about Buzz?
In New York's Union Square, the club spa has attracted Puffy, DiCaprio, and Mr. and Mrs. Whitney Houston. But it's gotten wilder lately, and the city's consumer affairs office and the health department are looking into it. In fact, they say they won't stand for this. People get in by invitation only, but once inside, some of them get naked. Some of them have sex. It all goes up on the video screens throughout the club. It even winds up on the internet and on T-shirts. People who sign release forms and perform in a cage called the Freak Box get prizes like dildos and vibrators.
We'd like to look at the nude lady.
When are you going, Buzz?
The club, well, I don't know that this is going to be going on much longer. The club says...
How about this lame-ass analysis?
They don't endorse this. They said they you know, can't control what every crazy person might do in the club.
Buzz, I have to go.
Uh-huh.
It's raining and I'm very scared.
Yes, I understand.
Gosh, I have a meeting I have to go to now.
Uh-huh.
An important radio station meeting to go to.
A meeting you can't talk about.
No, I can't, but I will leave you in the capable hands of Mike with more news and comments still to come.
Don't get wet.
Okay, yeah, right. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
This announcement, as unbelievable as it seems, is true.
Graffiti Audio Video is desperate.
So desperate that Graffiti will give you a cheap watch just for listening to this message.
Listen for the secret word in this commercial, then come to the new Graffiti Audio Video store at the Fair City Mall in Fairfax, Virginia, at the corner of Main Street and Pickett.
You'll get a brand new wristwatch, and you can check out their incredibly low prices on all the best names like
Sony, Bose, Denon, Onkyo, Nakamichi, and Polk.
Graffiti has them all. And at discount prices.
Visit Graffiti Audio Video in the Fair City Mall and simply mention
the secret word.
Geneva, as in Switzerland, to get your free watch. While supplies last, one free watch per household address. No purchase necessary.
Graffiti Audio Video with four locations to serve you. DuPont Circle, Tenleytown, Bethesda. And the new Graffiti in the Fair City Mall, Fairfax, Virginia.
WJFK. Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Cletus, what are you beating your gums about?
Two guys so white, they show movies on them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, I have it on good authority that the station is actually floating right now.
Yeah, right.
We are counting the animals two by two. Major storms and everything back to normal now, Rob. We have...
They are currently building delay, so we actually should be able to give away a prize at the end of the show.
They're building delay.
Cool.
Brick by brick so we can take phone calls. But right now we've got more Buzz Burbank. And Don has had to leave early because he is the boss now.
Yes. And he has to go to a meeting. His responsibility.
Very important meeting. I cannot talk about the meeting, but I know it's very, very,
very important.
With very important people.
That's all I'll say.
It's very complicated.
It's very complicated.
Good luck in your meeting, partner.
A couple of high school boys who put sexual profiles of their female schoolmates on the wall after all.
Oh, now something just happened again. Did you see that?
The lights dimmed.
The thunder clapped. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get the thought, I mean, I know I'm constantly thinking about self-preservation, but do you ever get the thought when that happens that there's going to be some sort of bolt of lightning that will come down through the audio chain, through our headphones, and fry our brain?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because that last power hit, I willed it so.
You did.
All three of us are safe.
Wow, that's good. Way to
go. Job, sales
I
people.
Forgot Rob has super magical powers. Yeah.
Yes. I'm pretty good like that.
Well, proceed. Are we still on the air, Rob? Lisa, are we still on the air? Lisa,
yes, we are.
We are?
Yes.
We are on the air.
We are on the air.
That's good. I guess you can proceed now.
Okay, then.
Very good.
Anyway, those boys who put sexual information about their female classmates.
Naughty, willful boys.
Not in trouble after all.
Right.
Prosecutors in White Plains, New York say the boys were bad, but not criminal in what they did.
They were bad, but they weren't horrid.
Right. Two seniors at Horace Greeley High were arrested last month over this and charged with aggravated harassment.
Who can blame them for being bad when they have a school named after Horace Greeley?
They put the whore in Horace.
Their website listed the girls' names, their addresses, phone numbers, and other information, including what they supposedly will and won't do on a date. More than 40 girls were listed, and over a dozen boys at the school had passwords to gain access to the site.
Lovely.
Philadelphia 76ers president Pat Croce's done it again.
Brother of Jim.
Today, he climbed a 400-foot bridge in Philly to hang a banner that reads, Go Sixers, beat L.A.
Uptown's got its hustlers, Buzz.
And downtown?
Downtown's got its bums.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I believe that's right.
I might be wrong about that.
Thank you.
So what did Jim Croce's brother do?
He climbed up a bridge and hung a banner. Said, beat L.A.
Oh, very nice.
Before the playoffs, Croce climbed a water tower to hang a similar banner. Mm-hmm. Croce likes this kind of thing. He once rappelled down the inside of the city's first union center during a timeout. The 5-by-70-foot banner he hung today hangs from the Walt Whitman Bridge over the Delaware River. Folks headed to the game tonight from Jersey will see it on their way to Philadelphia.
I heard that was such an actual stunt that people wish they could stop time.
I'm sure.
I heard that he has a name.
And keep it in a bottle.
In a bottle.
Time in a bottle. Buzz, we have time for one more.
Okay. Tiger Woods is the guy to get if you're looking for a sports star to endorse your product or service. And he's the guy for the third straight year. Mm-hmm. A sports marketing firm does an annual survey. Tiger comes out on top, followed by Michael Jordan, then Olympic cyclist Lance Armstrong. Three women made the top ten for the first time. Tennis player Anna Kournikova, soccer's Mia Hamm, and track star Marion Jones.
Mm.
They ranked fourth, fifth, and sixth. Andre Agassi, Muhammad Ali, Kobe Bryant, and Wayne Gretzky round out the top ten.
Yeah! All right, guys. Thank you very much, Buzz Burbank. We have to take a break, and you can be caller 100. You know what it's all about. Be assertive, and you will win a cavalcade of fabulous prizes, and we will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough, and yet still very self-conscious that I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to talk.
I wanted to believe.
And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over,
right.
And I couldn't.
So what?
They don't bum on her case while whistling.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we understand, Judy. We really do.
I wrote that bumper about Judy Garland.
Later this week on the Don and Mike Show, you can win a trip for two to New Jersey.
I love it.
To see WWF King of the Ring on June 24th, courtesy of WWF, Comcast, and Cox Cable. Treat your dad like a king for Father's Day by ordering WWF King of the Ring on Sunday, June 24th at 8 p.m. Call your Comcast or Cox system to order right now. Isn't that right, Buzz Burbank?
Right now.
Take it away, Buzz.
In sports, after a couple of days off, the Sixers and the Lakers continue the NBA Finals tonight in Philadelphia. Going into Game 4, Los Angeles is up 2-1.
Lots of trash talking going on.
Yes, there is. 1 year ago, Tiger Woods set a record in winning the U.S. Open by 15 strokes. Since then, he has won every major tournament he's played.
We were just talking about 15 strokes up in New York when we're all up there this week.
That's right, because we're not feeling well. We wouldn't want to interrupt blood flow to our brain.
Absolutely.
Have 15
right.
strokes.
Have our lips go numb.
Hey, you're the man, Tiger.
Tomorrow, Tiger begins defending his championship and going for a fifth straight major win as this year's Open begins in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
He's a tiger.
He's no Phil Mickelson. No, I stroke.
And finally,
I won by 15 strokes.
Way to go, Meltor.
15 fabulous strokes.
Finally, the Sheriff's Department of Chatham County, North Carolina, wants to know if you've got any weed.
Hey, Buzz, it's your story right up your alley.
Theirs is missing. In fact, they're offering a $40,000 reward for it.
Hold on, Buzz will give you $45,000.
Yeah, go. Why don't you fly back down there and give it back?
5,000 pounds of pot were seized by the deputies last year, but then it disappeared.
Deputy dog. Oops, Charlie, that was my fault, as usual.
Charlie and Joe must have been the deputies in charge of this evidence. Police say that...
We were, Buzz.
Because they ran short of storage space at headquarters, Charlie and Joe put most of it in the back of a truck parked outside. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. No. Yes, we do have to get out of here. I do want to remind everyone we've got a very big week. Tomorrow, we broadcast live from New York City, the studios of WNEW. Lots of exciting things happening on the show, including a mystery guest on Friday.
Yeah.
That's a very special mystery guest. Also, did Don mention that Donny Osmond is going to be on the show soon?
He also teased that. Yes, he did.
Very, very exciting. Lots of fun coming up on the show. And, of course, we will be live in New York tomorrow. Let's get right to the telephones, Robbie. Hello.
I am the 100th caller, Mike.
You're the 100th caller. That was sort of assertive, so I guess we'll give it to you. What's your name, sir?
I'm Dan.
Where are you calling from, Danny?
Calling from Dulles, Virginia.
From Dulles, Virginia. Is that a town, or do you live on the runway at the airport?
Right in the edge of the runway.
Wonderful. Let me tell you what you've won. You have won a Frappuccino a day for a month from Starbucks, along with a Starbucks travel mug.
Great.
Stop by your...
Stop by your local Starbucks today.
Way to go, Dan.
And try a coffee frappuccino blended beverage, coffee at its coolest. But wait.
There's more.
You have also won a Panasonic stereo radio cassette player.
Great.
Courtesy of Graffiti Audio Video. Graffiti Audio Video has four locations to serve you. DuPont Circle, Teletown Bethesda, and their new location in Fair City Mall in Fairfax. But wait.
Still more for you, Dan.
And also on a WWF King of the Ring prize pack, courtesy of WWF. What do you think of that, Dan?
All right. Fantastic.
That's courtesy of WWF, Comcast, and Cox Cable. Treat your dad like a king. We said that before. So congratulations. Enjoy all your prizes, okay?
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks. We're going to put you on hold now. You can talk to lovely Lisa.
He was great.
He was fantastic. He was really, really good people. Well, that said, we got to get out of here. Everybody's traveling to New York tomorrow.
That's right. And we'd be remiss if we didn't thank Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, a fantastic guy, the author of the book Foley is good. Not Foley is God, which a few misguided citizens used to call him.
He's fun.
So thanks to Mick Foley. Always a great guest, and we had a great time with him today. That's it. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Thank you so much, and good night, Rob.
Thank you, Mike.
And now Rob and I are going to attempt to do the maneuver where I throw the bottle cap over the console and into Rob's mouth.
Very tricky.
Let's go.
Throw on my part.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
There was no way that could get in my mouth.
So long. That's it. Got to get out of here. And so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.